counter repeat we are seeing in the media, or the park, and in every area in the province, is a day you cannot have a partner, a husband, killing the partner, doing horrible things, others killing even their own kids when they are in dispute with the partner or the wife. We are just not safe in our land. We need prayer. So I'm saying these awards were there on our last day of the month August. But I'm always saying that it must not be this month August, whilst the increase of GBV and femicide in this month is horrible. I wish to encourage all those women athletes to carry on the wonderful work to take South Africa to the next level in the sports sector. You know, honorable members, with this committee, we know that women netball and women in soccer, they are doing their best. But you know, maybe we must try every now and then and monitor and follow this soccer people, soccer club. I've seen that now we need to congratulate the Swallows, which is a football club, for winning a promotion to play the top five football again. They've been there, relegated, not doing well. So we must also have an interest in all codes of sport and sport. Because we've been looking at rugby, at least Banyana now, they do deserve, because they fought and they strive to be where they are. And our soccer players and soccer, it's not doing well, but if also we do support each club, wherever they are doing good, we need to do also as a committee. I'm taking this opportunity to greet our department and to greet everyone who is with us, our staff, new colleagues, that I'm taking this time to open. We know that we just buried so many loved ones. We've seen the funeral of our colleague. It was very touchy, but the parliament made us proud to make us to be part of Comrade Ishmael's funeral. It went well, but we had some of us to immediately run away because we were not aware that really when in the funeral we doing both the earth, you know, some of us don't go for that, but really I did appreciate it on the leader and the caliber of that person. I declare meeting open and presenting the agenda in front of you. Anyone to adopt the agenda? Yes, honorable member. Is it honorable Tom?
Yes, Chair. Good morning. Yes, honorable Chair. And Chair, I'm proposing an amendment. We have received SAGA document and National Arts Council document. And I'm proposing we put them on item number 4, and then item number 4 will become item number 5. Item number 5 become item number 6. and item number 6 will become item number 7. That's my proposal, Chair, and because we've received these documents and we have to discuss them.
But the main purpose of the meeting, Honourable Mkhama, I'm not rejecting. The main purpose of the day is the briefing of the EC Department, and we need to scrutinize and those documents, they must fall under the main item of today, because we have agreed that today will be having this department. But that's your view. I'm just want that you must always keep in mind why we have called the meeting. Honourable members, that's the proposal of Honourable Mshongo.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Is Honourable Maloman?
Maloman. Yes, Chair. Chair, I'm proposing that the agenda that is presented in the screen, we move with that to the, I think the amendment, first thing, we don't finish our meeting. If we add more, if it will be more items, we won't finish. Because even 2 items, we can't finish our meeting because of the issue of time. So I think let's move with it as it is presented. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson? Yes, Honourable Member.
Chairperson, I understand that that it must be kept in that order, but if we don't get to the point where we can discuss those matters that were forwarded to us, will there then be a time frame made available with the next meeting so that we can actually communicate on it?
Thank you, Honourable Members. Any intake, Honourable Members?
Say it's Honourable Mkabane, Chair.
Yes, Honourable Mkabane.
On the basis that, Chair, the purpose of the meeting is to discuss item number 4, I will then second Honourable Malumane, Chair, to say let's adopt the agenda as it is. Should there be a feeling from the members that we need to also consider the reports that have been circulated to members, we need to then prioritize those items in the next meeting. I think it's a person.
Hello, Honorable Sovereign.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Chairperson, I'd love to say good morning to everyone. Chairperson, I would love to support Honourable Mshongo about the Virginia Taylor's issue, which has been being pushed aside for a very long time. But still, without looking down at the briefing by the department, I think Freddie should be invited so that we start discussing his problem when he is already, when he's invited to come. But we've been talking about it and not doing anything.
Honourable members, I'm suspecting in the briefing of the department, some of the issues will be emerging from the briefing and can, as we're discussing, pick up what we want to ask to the department. But to not to stick on what we agreed in the last meeting, saying that what do we want in the next meeting. We said we want this briefing, and I'm suspecting we have a purpose. Everything is very important, and we see that in this department of ours, every day there are issues, and if we cannot follow our program, we can be everywhere. Whilst every point is very, very important, Honourable Member. We can't even vote or sharing. Can't we just agree to take the agenda as it to the plenary to do what is supposed to be done. We still want to go and present our report that we must be adopted. I do plead with you, honourable members, that can we follow the agenda which the item we've agreed upon in it.
Chairperson?
Hello, honourable members.
Thanks, Chair, for giving me again this opportunity. I think procedural, this is matters arising on your agenda item, the issues that I've raised. In our minutes, you can check, they failed even to give these documents as a specific time as you instructed them, but they failed the committee and they did not even respect your calling. Now, it's matters arising, provided you don't suspect, but provided the department will dwell on SARA issues and on any issues when they present this quarterly report.
Yeah.
Let's maybe ask them to please, on their presentation, they must include both items and then we'll discuss it. But I'm fine if it's like that.
No, honourable members, I was thinking that when I was saying that, I don't think they cannot not to touch because they are part of each department's budget and whatever. And also, we'll be having time when they finish to present to ask any related issues that we want. So can we take this opportunity to support the agenda as it is, and bear in mind that when we are doing your 3-minute question, ask whatever you want to ask in our department. Thank you, honorable members. Any proposal and any second?
Honourable Balumane, Chair.
Yes, you proposed and then I will want to say again.
Honourable Chair.
Yes.
Honourable Balumane, Chair, I'm seconding.
Okay. Thank you so much, honourable members. Let me take this opportunity again to give it to our administrator to give us apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. The only apology we have, Chairperson, is from the Deputy Minister who is attending a Cabinet Committee meeting.
I do have an apology. I have an apology of Mr. Siabe, who's going to join us due to the problem of flight. I'm suspecting he has landed by this time, so he's going to join us later. Any other apology?
We do have an apology from the Minister, Chair.
Okay. Any apology from the Minister, thank you. Any other apology? Can you show the agenda on the screen, so put the agenda on the screen. Now, honourable members, I'm giving the department, I don't know who is here, they will introduce themselves, but surely they're supposed to be here. We are on point 4, the briefing by the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture on the 2019-2020 fourth quarter and the 2021 first quarter performance report. To you, the Department of this committee.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. Good morning to the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I am Hussein Kize, the Director General, Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. I would like to first just tender two apologies for the PPGs, and that is Mr. Ndima is with the minister in cabinet, as there is an item to present there. And then I've got DDJ Khan. She is on leave, and there is but we do have a representative to take care of the presentation for the fourth quarter, which would be still falling under the old department called the Sport and Recreation. Then we have one document that will talk to first quarter, because that is when we were all merged as one department under one vote. So, Honorable Chairperson, those are the apologies that I have. I will then request that we project the sharing of the presentation. If the committee secretary is projecting that, then they do so. If not, we will then do that. Can I get clarity on that, Honorable Chairperson?
So as you are asking, we do agree what you are saying.
And then, Sulama, will you then project the presentation?
Good morning, honorable members. DG, on my side, I get a message that the host has disabled the participant screen sharing.
Oh, yes. What is that, Mazo?
Excuse me, Chairperson. I have only made the DG a co-host, but I have just made Lulama now the co-host, so she can share.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I do understand.
Yes, otherwise, the Honorable Chair, every board will become a co-host and share all things they shouldn't share, unless they are granted permission. Can I then move a chair, and then while we are projecting, just to indicate that the chairperson, we submitted the presentation, and I think Honorable Mkhongo had indicated that we might have failed to submit on time. Maybe we, the people who did not hear that there was a specific time the following day that we should do that, but there was no intention to fail to submit the information, but we need to make sure that we provide the portfolio committee with the accurate and correct information, and not that it's put together haphazardly to the portfolio committee. And there was no then intention to neither miss the deadline, and that's why we worked throughout to make sure that we distribute the presentation and share it with the portfolio committee. On the issue raised around then the presentation, I will just indicate that the structure of the presentation is purpose, introduction, performance overview, the comparative analysis of the third quarter vis-a-vis the fourth quarter of 1920 financial year. The program specific program performance will then be shared with the committee. We will then go to the financials, and then I will ask them and the director for planning to take us through the fourth quarter report of the former Department of Sport and Recreation. That is how we will approach the presentation, Honorable Chair. The purpose is that the portfolio committee of the Department of Sport and Culture is provided with the performance of the department for the quarter four, and that is the Department of Arts and Culture in that financial year. This then, we believe, enables the committee to have an opportunity to provide the necessary oversight from an informed position. We will then proceed in the introduction. As we have indicated, here we are talking about two departments, because that was a separate vote, and therefore, currently the reports are to the same principal, they still have that separate budget board and are thus treated as separate departments until end of financial year 2019-2020. The report is based on performance by each department separately, and once the two departments carry one vote, as will be displayed under the first quarter, we'll then present the single department performance report. We would like to indicate that the preliminary report of the fourth quarter as per Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation Guidelines has been complied with. Fourth quarter performance report is submitted and was submitted to BPME as well as National Treasury as required in terms of reporting guidelines. Further, I would like to just indicate that the fourth quarter report is then submitted to the internal audit and validation is happening there to check whether what is claimed to be achieved is supported by evidence, and they then do what we call a second and level audit assurance. We then go to the audit committee for the fourth and for the final quality assurance. Our performance, as we display now, if you can move to the slide, it will indicate that in quarter four, the achievement was at 70%. And then and not achieved was at 30%, that it accounts for 10 out of the 20 out of 33 and 23 out of 33 that was achieved. If we then move to the next slide, we will then indicate that the department had planned the 33 performance targets during the fourth quarter reporting period. However, 23 were achieved, which is translating to 70%, and the targets that were not achieved are the following: the conducting of visit bureaus, implementation of governance tools for the DAC public entities, conducting of CEOs forum, creation of job opportunities through arts and culture projects, provision of support to sector organizations, provision of support to market access platforms, provision of support to provincial community arts programs, provision of support to capacity building programs, as well as the multi-year heritage infrastructure project and the drafting of heritage policies. The reasons will be provided in the next slide. As we know that this quarter is a quarter in which we then got confronted by COVID and immediately, which then impact on the last leg of collection of evidence. And we do not allow anything, even if it is claimed to be achieved, we record it as not achieved until evidence is gathered, which most of those targets were able to get that evidence after the lockdown was reduced to levels 3, and so that we could also submit to the AG. So at the time, some of the evidence could not then be provided, and we then treated those targets as not achieved at the time. If we then look at the quarter by quarter performance, that would then translate to having a 73% in the third quarter and 7% in the fourth quarter. In terms of the program specific, we've got four programs. Administration program, which is the one that deals with the corporate services, deals with financial, and then it is the one that then we had 80%, four targets out of five, and then one not achieved, which was 20%. 80% also in institutional governance, where they had 10 targets, and then we were able to achieve eight, and two not achieved. And then the arts, culture, promotion, development, we had and nine targets, four achieved, and the 56%, which chances to five, not achieved. And then we had the heritage preservation and promotion. They had nine targets, quarter four, two were not achieved, and the seven were achieved, translating to 78%. If we go to program by program, we then indicate the areas of performance, areas where the targets were achieved. Target, we had one target for number of communication and marketing campaigns implemented to profile the department, and that was done. We then have a number of services, two that we needed to modernize. and that is the grant management system, as well as the National Archives information system, and that was achieved. And then we had the issue of the BBBE compliance, which was also then it's always be greater than 70%, and we were at 84% of the value of the procurement that was awarded, which translates to 113 transactions conducted, and they are at a value of 188,148,020 rand. And this was then spent through the SPM in the period under review. So out of the 188 million, and that was then spent, we had 157 that was then given to the BBBE compliance service provider. Then the number of individuals, we had planned 5, but only 3 could be held in the quarter 4. And the reasons were that on the 15th of March, when the president then introduced the state of disaster, including the limits of meetings or gatherings, the number due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we then had could not continue with those individuals that were outstanding. We then have less than 10% of vacancy rate, and we are at 7.7%, we had against the department of the vacancies that were not filled. And then on program 2, Honorable Chairperson, we had a number of departmental entities and performance information reports that need to be approved and submitted. So we had a target of 4 of those, 3 of departmental ones, and 1 from the entity's consolidated report. And the following are the reports that were submitted. It's a second quarter performance. The DSAC then 2025 strategic plan that needed to be approved, as well as the 2020-21 APP that needed annual performance plan, as well as the third quarter public entities consolidated report, and all those reports were done. We had then the number of governance tools that were supposed to be finalized, and the one was the only one was the target, and then here then 92 council members completed their questionnaires, and therefore then we said even though that is in terms of the significant, because we just said the target is councils will complete the questionnaires, and 92 did, members did. So this tool then was going to be completed during the last period of March, and the outbreak then stated that people or not all council members could then be able to convene their council meeting and where the questionnaire would be presented for discussion. However, despite this being the challenge, 92 council members did complete that questionnaire independently, and they were able to submit to the unit. As a result, the public entity management unit received questionnaires even from those entities that had not met to be taken through it. Outstanding supporting documents will be then received from the 6, and those are the ones that we are mentioning there, and so that we are able to have a significant number. And those were DSOM, ISICON, ANC, NFVF, the National Library of South Africa, as well as PEMSAL, and entities, once they are able to submit and operate, we will be able to then finalize those council meetings. And in the first quarter of the 2021 financial year. And that is one of the targets we then had to zoom in soon after the lockdown and relaxations were done. If we move to the second target, was that we normally have the CEO's forums once in 6 months, and the one was then planned to take place in the last 10 month of March, and that CEO forum could not then be held because it was affected immediately by the issue of the gathering, and then we could not do it, and we could only do it in April, and April is not the period under which we needed to then report it as not achieved. When we look at the approved feasibility and due diligence report, and this is now on the amalgamation of the DAC public entities as envisaged in the revised white paper. And if we look at this one, this was achieved. There is a final report that was received, the feasibility and due diligence report of amalgamation of the public entities was finalized, presented and approved on the 31st of March 2020. We then had a number of cultural diplomacy engagements that had to be conducted, and it was the target was 5 for this quarter. 5 of them were done, and that is the 10th World FN Forum, which was held in Abu Dhabi from the 8th of February to the 13th. Then there was an ordinary session, the 13th, of the Intergovernmental Committee for the Convention of the Protection and Promotion of Diversity of Cultural Expressions, which was held in Paris from the 11th to the 14th of February. And that was also done. And then the 10th session of the Joint Ministerial Commission between the Republic of India and the Republic of South Africa, which was to be held in New Delhi on the 17th of January, and that was done. The 5th session of the Senior Officials Meeting between the Republic of Burundi and the Republic of South Africa was then held in Bujumbura from the 22nd to the 23rd of January in 2020. And finally, one of the DAC coordinated then the South Africa's participation in the working visit by official from Slovak National Appraising Museum from the 10th to the 17th of March. Next one then was a number of national days commemorated, and March is a human rights day, and while this had to be done differently, we had to adapt quickly. But it was held, and the president addressed the nation on the 21st of March 2020. We had to look at virtual ways of doing things. And the number of reports on the implementation of Social Cohesion Compact, one report on the implementation of the Social Compact Cohesion was then developed. And we look here at the number of community conversations that were held, and there were two that were held. And then we have the number of social advocacy platforms. And then we have the target of 5 and 6. If we look at the moral regeneration movement program that they needed to run, they had one that they had planned to be supported. And that is what was done, and we supported that moral regeneration movement program. And then we then have number of arts, youth, development. This we did not have targets, so we will skip both of those two items as reflected. We then had the number of program 3. We had number of cultural and creative sector projects that needed to be supported through Mzansi Golden Economy. That target was 4, and the 4 cultural and creative sector projects were then provided with the necessary support we needed to do. Now, this ACPD2 is the one that talks to job opportunities, because we decided that will include it, because through Mzansi Golden Economy, we then provide the job opportunities and through various means, and including the national days. And here the target was that we will have the 9,000 that we will have, and there were 9,601 jobs that were created. However, when we were doing at the time the validation of the information, as I indicated, Honorable Chairperson, that we then go through that exercise of checking each and everyone to see it's supported by evidence. And we then had at the time 7,103 that had adequate evidence. That would vary whether people have got IT numbers or they don't have IT numbers. So when we have that list of names and where these events took place, we will then ask that those who implemented that must provide that evidence. If it is not there, we will have to go and get it. But at the time of reporting, that evidence was not yet provided, and the people were using then the reason that at the time they could not submit those. And some of the events were supposed to happen, big ones, some of those festivals in the period of March, and they couldn't at the time. So then we had 7,000 that was supported by evidence. We have subsequently gathered that evidence. The number of sector organizations supported, 4 was the target, 3 sector organizations were supported in the fourth quarter. Of the 3 sector organizations supported, 1 had adequate education at the time, and there was a slow progress of 2 projects. 1 organization could not conclude the program due to the limitation on social gatherings, as per the announcement, which we all know, and then with the other one, the MOA, we had to, it was overlapping into the new financial year, and we needed to do the addendum and during the lockdown period. Then multi-year human language technologies, the target was that we'll support 6 of them, and we did indeed support the 6, as indicated, there was no reason for any deviation. If we proceed to the next slide, we then had number of market access platforms that needed to be supported, and the projects were then either cancelled or could not take place. We ended up doing only 2 market access platforms instead of 3, and then these projects then will be part and parcel of the projects going forward in the new financial year where we could be able to support them. Then the number of documents that were to be translated, it's 100%, you should translate to us in 92 that we received, and we had to then, all of them had to be translated or edited, and that was done. And then on the provincial community arts program supported, 3 were supported. However, due to the projects being very, very slow and the delays in finalizing their business plan, and this resulted in payments being done quite late. And at the time, we need to always have proof of what we call payment stats. And then if that happens late, then even if it's supported, we cannot conclude that until we've got all the evidence. So we'll continue then with the process after the lockdown. And that was the ambition at the time. But then the lockdown could have been longer. ACPDH, we did not have anything to report, but the number of ACPD9 capacity building programs that were supported. Here again, Honorable Chairperson, while the target was 23 and we were able to support 34 projects, and as we have indicated, the issue of the projects that were submitted at the time when we wanted evidence, we had 11 that were having everything that we needed, and then the lockdown of the fourth quarter had an adverse effect on the ability to many council important projects to complete their final report and submit so that we can pay them the second tranche. So that is why then we say we reported them not counted until we get the reports as well as the payment stats for the second tranche. But they were supported with the payments of the first tranche. ECPD, if we proceed to ECPD 10, there was no reporting required. 11, then we needed to have number of reports that were to be produced by South African Cultural Observatory for the quarter. They did the 19 as expected, and there was adequate evidence, and then we report as achieved. Then we had in program 4, Honorable Chairperson, we have a program called Heritage Preservation and Promotion. And that program deals with, among other things, the transformation of the heritage landscape. And this includes the change of names. So when we talk of the Gazette notices on standardization of geographical names, we had one target for that, and that was a Gazette, which will then be used to publish all the new names that have been introduced, replacing old names. And we had that Gazette indeed published on the 20th of March. Then we had the number of books profiling the living human treasures, that were to be published, and indeed two of those were done, and then the human treasures were published and were documented and downloaded, the information they have, so that it can be used for time in memorial of how they had practiced their craft. And then we've got HPP3, which is the number of multi-heritage infrastructure projects completed. Here we have two targets, and that is the Oar Tambo Garden of Remembrance construction, as well as Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela Brandfort site construction. The problem here is with Oar Tambo Garden of Remembrance delays in construction not being completed, and therefore then we had one that is finished, and that is Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela's construction that was completed in Brandfort. And Honorable Chair, we can indicate that we have created in that area a precinct where we have also built adequate the public facilities as part of this library, of this memorial. We then have HPP4, which is regarding the feasibility study report on resistance and liberation heritage movement museum, which was to be submitted to cabinet. This feasibility study was done, and a report was presented to the cluster, and their inputs were incorporated, and the study report is available on this museum and submitted to cabinet. And then we've got the number of flags installed in schools as part of installing pride and the sense of patriotism about our identity, and that all schools must be the symbols of our identity, and the flags become then that uniting force behind social cohesion. And 400 of those were installed in this quarter. And then in HPP6, the number of heritage bursaries that we had to award, we did not have to award in the last quarter of this financial year at the time, and therefore we did not have a report to present to portfolio committee in this regard. And then number of jobs created, the target was 530 job opportunities, and indeed we were able to achieve far higher at 1,185 opportunities that were created through our culture and heritage infrastructure project. And this was the new indicator, Honorable Chair, we did not have it, but as the country is facing the explosion of unemployment, we have decided to make sure that this becomes key mandatory work that the service providers must report on when we have these infrastructure projects that are running. Then we've got a number of archival collections digitized, and the target was that we will have a digitization of the children, as well as digitization of dictaphones, as well as the digitization of Cordesa records, and these were indeed digitized, and that is the TRC. And if we then, we can proceed, HPP9, we had to build the modular libraries. The target was 30 of the financially supported so that they are built, and all 32 were done. Then under HPP10, the heritage policies drafted. Here, then the target was that we will submit the national draft policy on repatriation and restitution of human remains and heritage objects to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation for the second socio-economic impact assessment. And then this was not done. Only we have the first certificate because that policy is in place, and the draft policy. The only thing that and we have submitted before, all was needed was the final and the second one. But because of that, then we reported this not achieved. And then we've got the issuing of the first phase was done. Additionally, the plan technical working group, this is outside of our control. It is a cluster process, but within the department, everything has been done. But because then of the indicator, we could not then say claim it achieved, but the policy is there. It has been submitted. The only thing outstanding was the second, a socio-economic impact assessment, as well as the tabling then before Parliament, because it has to be before Cabinet Committee at the cluster level, which we call Technical Working Group, which meeting was then postponed, and therefore the Department could not present the final draft policy to them. We will then move to the expenditure report for the fourth quarter, and that will be led by the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Makoto Makala, and I will ask him to take us through and take the portfolio committee through. Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and good morning, colleagues. Makoto Makala is my name. I'm going to take through the portfolio committee on the fourth quarter financial performance. In the summary, we can see that the overall spending is at 4.3 billion, which is 95% against the budget of 4.6 billion as at the 31st of March 2020. If we compare this spending with the prior year, of an expenditure of 4.2 billion was incurred. This is an increase of about 2.8% in expenditure, and it is mainly due to the infrastructure project of the KZN Museum. If we look at the economic classification, the schedules are below. I will share with you the members as we proceed with the presentation. The compensation of employees as the first item. Here the spending is 249 million, which translates into 93% against the budget of 267 million. The expenditure compared to the prior year financial year is 2.8%. There is a slight increase of 4.2%, and this is due to the number of field positions. On the goods and services, we've got an expenditure of 1.6 million, which is 91% against the budget of 180 million. If we compare to the spending of the prior year, amounting to 5 million, there is an increase of 16%, and this is mainly due to the inaugural year of the summit, the implementation of the cultural and creative industry, federation of friends.
Something must happen. The noise, the wind, please try to control that noise. It's irritating us, and it makes us not to hear you clearly. So please, there's a big noise behind. Yes, it's off now. Thank you.
There is someone who did not hear Chairperson, but I'm not sure because...
Okay. Thank you.
I was still on the goods and services where the spending, I said, is at 436 million. Which is 91% against the final budget of 280 million. Compared to the previous year of 375 million, there is an increase of 16%, and it is mainly due to the inaugural year of the Film Summit, also the implementation of the Cultural and Creative Industries Federation of South Africa, where they were holding regional meetings and provincial meetings, and also their annual general meeting where they elected the executive of CISA, and the department carried the cost to this establishment. Next slide. On the departmental accounts and agencies, this is our public entity. Here the spending is 1.5 billion, which is 100% of the final appropriation. The expenditure in comparison to the prior year of 1.5 billion have a slight increase of 3.5% due to the approval granted to shift funds to cover the MGE commitment from EMS funds to NEF. The shifting is as a result of the last 3-year pilot program of NEF agreement, which ended at the end of August 2019. Furthermore, on the departmental agency's capital transfers, the spending there is 305 million against the final appropriation of 312 million. Here, the expenditure compared to the prior year, but at the same time, it was 290 million, and therefore there is an increase of 5.6% due to the approval granted to shift funds to increase the KwaZulu-Natal Museum allocation for the upgrading and conservation of the St. Anne Hospital, which is part of the KZN Museum. Next slide. Interest on land. Here the expenditure was 1,000, which was incurred against a final appropriation of 1,000, which relates to penalty charge by the service provider for late payment by the department on training. Compared to the same period last year, the amount was 8.8 million, which was incurred, which was a major decline, which translates into a major decline of 88% in expenditure. This is due in the previous year, there was a settlement of interest charge on application awarded to an MGE beneficiary, which resulted in a success of expenditure. On provinces and municipalities, this is in relation to the library conditional grant, 1.5 billion, which translates into 100% was spent against the budget. And compared to the same period in the prior year, the amount was 1.4 billion, which resulted in an increase of 5.4% due to the nominal growth of the appropriated budget. On higher education, the expenditure was sitting at 4.4 million at the end of the fourth quarter against an appropriation of 4.4 million. Compared to the prior year, the spending was at 5.4 million, resulting here comparison of 18.3% decline. This relates to the HLT project based on the project plan. On higher education CAPEX, there was no expenditure against a budget of 4.4 million. No expenditure was incurred also in the prior year under this economic classification. The allocation, honorable members, relates to the construction of the Chief Charlie Monument, which should be constructed at the University of Fort Hare. If I proceed to foreign government and international organizations, the expenditure was 4.4 million, which translates into 87% of the budget. And compared to the previous year, there is a 2.5% increase compared to actual expenditure of 4.3 million. The under expenditure is as a result of the rand to pound exchange rate and the Commonwealth Foundation also having to reassess the contribution of the member country and resulted in that decline. On public corporation and private enterprises, the expenditure is at 108 million against a final budget of 125 million. Compared to the same period in the prior year, an amount of 110 million was spent, which resulted in a decline of 1.8% in expenditure. And this is mainly due to late receipt of closeout reports from MG beneficiaries, which were sent via courier services as a result of the lockdown. On public corporation capital expenditure, the expenditure incurred is 400,000 against a final appropriation of 900,000. In the prior year, the expenditure was 9.3 million incurred, resulting in a decline of 95.7% due to the total allocation of upgrading of community art centers being reclassified to non-profit institution economic item. And then on household, the expenditure was sitting at 17.8 million against a final budget of 22.1 million. Compared to the same period in the prior financial year, the expenditure was 24.2 million. There is a major decline of 26%, and this is mainly due to late receipt of the results report also by the MGE beneficiaries, which were sent by courier instead of being handed in by the beneficiaries due to the lockdown. On non-profit institutions, the expenditure was 154 million, which translated into 84% against the final appropriation of 184 million. Compared to the same period in the previous financial year, the expenditure was 169 million, and therefore this translates into a decline of 8.7%. And similarly, this is due to the late receipt of the closeout report from the beneficiary. On capital expenditure for non-profit institutions, the expenditure here was sitting at 5.7 million, which translated into 43% of the final budget of 13.2 million. If we compare the expenditure with the prior year, which the expenditure by then was 19.4 million, there's also a decline which translates into 70% as a result of, firstly, the funding for community art centers was dictated by the provincial department in identifying beneficiaries, and over the year there was under expenditure due to lack of necessary compliance documents from identified beneficiaries. To mitigate against this reality, the department resolved to fund a business plan per province for community art center. As a result, funds will not be transferred until finalization of the approval of business plan. Some of the projects ended in the prior financial year, and the funds under this classification were therefore redirected to other projects. Next slide. On the building and other fixtures, the expenditure here is 1.2 million against a final appropriation of 1.3 million, and this translated into 94%. And this relates also in one of the questions the members asked was, it relates to the refurbishment of the South African Roadies Association House infrastructure project. This project members is implemented by the Development Bank of South Africa. Compared to the same period in the prior financial year, with an expenditure of 35.8 million, there is a major decline of 97% in expenditure, and this is basically due to the reclassification of the HVAC project from economic classification to heritage current year as advised by National Treasury. Next slide. On other machinery and equipment, the expenditure at the end of the quarter was 1.8 million, which was 33% compared to the 5.5 million budget. Compared to the same period in the prior financial year, the expenditure was 8.2 million. There is a major decline of 90% due to the procurement of desktop computers, IQ phones, installation of bathroom audio visual and telecom infrastructure equipment during the relocation of DAC to Bishaba House in the prior financial year. On the heritage asset, the expenditure is 39.6 million, which translates into 34% against the final appropriation of 115 million. compared to the prior year, same time, the expenditure was 32 million, and this was an increase of about 20% in expenditure. And this is mainly due to DPWI not able to account for invoice submitted to the department for the National Archives project, which is about the heat ventilation air conditioning project. As a result, the department did not make payment for this. On other machinery and equipment, the expenditure on software and intangibles, the expenditure is at 3.1 million, which translates into 100%. Compared to the same time in the previous financial year, the expenditure was 994, which translated into 213%. And this is due to payment of CETA for the implementation of phase two of the National Automated Archival Information Retrieval System, known as NARS project, based on the deliverable. On payment of financial assets, the expenditure of 749,000 was incurred compared to the previous financial year. There was an expenditure of 221, and there is an increase of the 238%. And this is in relation to damages paid for the rented cars as well as maintenance. Next slide, please. So this slide, the honorable members, just give the actual figures as I have reported. If you look at the program now, administration, they were able to spend 96% of the budget. Program 2, institutional governance, they were able to spend 95%. ACPD, they were able to spend 94%. HPP, 96%, and in total, as indicated above, the department was able to spend 95% with an underspending at year-end of 216. If we go to economic classification, next slide.
Just a moment, have any indication that Mr. Mkhongo hand is up. Honorable Mkhongo, the administrator.
Not for the question, not now. For the question, apology, not now.
Also,
just indicating for the question.
Okay. What's on that? We are proposing that by 11 we start to engage with the presentation. Thank you, DG, and the colleagues. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Apology, Chair. I have a different view. Why do we have the department 2 hours and we only have 1 hour? I think let them have till half past 10 and then we have questions, Chair, because we cannot give the department 2 hours presentation and an hour to ask questions. That's not an effective oversight that you must do, but that I expected to perform as an individual.
But Honorable Mkhongo, what do we want that our whoever is coming, that if we want them to prepare, and if their presentation is not finished, how are we going to engage? I do understand that we've got challenge of time in this virtual meeting, but I'm foreseeing that if they don't give us the full presentation, which they are preparing day and night, I'm suspecting it's not the fault of us as committee members and the fault of people who are coming to the committee to put a true reflection. So I do hear what you're saying, but I'm a bit worried that we want them to have a thorough presentation in order that we must do the oversight role. So if the oversight, they are not giving us the fully fledged information, will be in trouble. But let's not waste their time also. Let's try to check how faster can you be every detail in order that we must do the oversight. The problem here is time for all of us. Thank you.
Thank Honorable Chair. I'll only actually, because I've already given explanation, just present these two slides which have been covered in the explanation above. On compensation of employees, we were able to spend 248 million, which translated into 93%. On the goods and services, we were at 91%, which is 2,435 million. If I go to the another conditional grant, you can see 100% spent in terms of the 1.5 billion. If I go to our public entity, also 1.5 billion spent, and only 3 million was underspent in that one. And then on the departmental agency CAPEX, also 305 million was spent, and there was an underspending of 6 million. And on higher education institution, as I explained above, 4.4 was spent on current. On CAPEX, on higher education, 4.3 was underspent. And if we can go to the next slide. On other transfers and subsidies, foreign government, we were able to spend 4.3 million. And if I go to public corporations, the department was able to spend 108 million, which translated into 87%. On public corporation CAPEX, the department was able to spend 400,000, which translated into 44%. On household, the expenditure there is 17.7 million, which is 81%, and on non-profit institutions, 154 million was spent, which underspending of 29 million. On non-profit institution CAPEX, 5.7 million was spent, translated into 43%. Next slide, please. On buildings and other fixtures, the expenditure there was 1.1 million, which translated into 94%. On machinery and equipment, 1.8 million, 33%. On heritage assets, 39 million was spent, which translated into 34%. On software and intangibles, 3.1 million. On other financial assets, 749 million. In total, the department was able to spend 95% as indicated above. Thank you, Chair. I'll stop at that. The other details are for the provinces and the details of our public entities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Duchi.
Well, thank you, Honorable Chair. Can I ask Manasseh to then present the fourth quarter report on the former sport and recreation? Manasseh?
Thank you, PG.
Sorry, Manasseh, could you start talking to the document while I load, please?
Okay. We can do that. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues. I will not repeat DG Mkhize's introduction on structuring of the department, as it goes through for this presentation as well. The threshold of presentation as per the previous advice of the committee is similar to that that was used for the health and culture presentation. I'll then, Chairperson, go straight to performance overview. We'll direct that the department has achieved 89%, and could only not be able to achieve 11% of its target. So the percentages in terms of numbers.
Honourable Chair, there is no presentation showing here.
There's nothing on the screen.
Lulama.
Can you see it now?
Yes. Yes. It's on the screen now. Go on, Monakwa.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. So we achieved 24 out of 27, which translates to 89%, and we could not achieve three targets, which translate to 11%. The non-achievement, Chairperson, is with relation to athletes supported through the Ministerial Sport Bursary Program, athletes supported through Scientific Support Program, sport and recreation bodies receiving financial and non-financial support in an effort to assist them in meeting their transformation target. When we look at this non-achievement, Chairperson, we realize that as much as we have not achieved in quarter four, the previous achievement in the previous quarters, besides that, when you look at overall for the year, then you find that the achievement in quarter four, as much as it's not as per the target for quarter four, then completes the target achievement of the target for the year. When we look at the next slide in terms of comparative analysis of third and fourth quarter, the 89% achievement of quarter four compares to 68% of quarter three, which shows an improvement. But in quarter three, we only achieved 17 out of 25, while in quarter four, it went to 24 out of 27. When we look at program in the next slide, Chairperson, we realize that program one, that is administration, achieved all its targets, and so is program two, which is Active Nation, that deals with mass participation. Go to Women Nation, which is program three, achieved 71%. Sport support, that mainly deals with federation support, achieved 86%. And sport infrastructure achieved 100%. When we zoom on to the actual programs in the next slide, when we look at program one, we have reported in the previous quarter, Chairperson, that in terms of training, we're not doing that well. But in quarter four, we caught up and we took staff through the Protection of Personal Information Act training. That's why we see that that high number of performance with regards to training. When we go to the next slide, we were able to, as planned, get the client satisfaction survey, and of course be able to take management through the status with regards to information and communication technology strategy implementation plan. And as we were able to do so from quarter two, Chairperson, we are still able to achieve 100% in terms of payment of invoices within 30 days. When we go to program two, Chairperson, the first two indicators did not have targets in quarter four. With regards to sport promotion campaigns and events implemented, we are able to report in this quarter rural sport development program,
when you look at the two indicators, 2.3 and 2.4, they go together in that one, the first focus more on the events implemented, and the second has to do with the participants relating to that particular event. You would realize, Chairperson, that our events are mainly open events where, as much as we plan based on the previous performance, we find that when the interest go high, we end up exceeding the performance that we had planned. The next two indicators that with regards to National School Sports Championship did not have a target. When you go to 2.7, that's number of people actively participating in organized sport and active recreation events. Here we're able to exceed the target, specifically the reason that I've just mentioned, Chairperson, where we plan based on the previous performance, but as there is increased interest in participation, then the numbers go up because our events are maybe open and are mass-based. You look at 2.8, learners participating in school sport tournaments at district level. There as well, we're able to exceed the target mainly because of increased interest in participation. When we go to 2.9, with regards to provision of equipment and or attire as the established norms and standards to schools, clubs, and hubs, we were able to exceed slightly, Chairperson, in that regard, because here may have a plan, and you find that at some stage there are certain other external players who support the targeted school, hub, or club, such that if we had 50,000 that we had allocated to support 10 clubs, for example, if one of them no longer requires a kid for two sport codes and now it's one, it means that there is more resources that we can use to support another beneficiary. That's why we are able to then increase the numbers during implementation, Chairperson. We look at indicator 2.10, number of athletes supported by sport academies per year. Here also we're able to exceed, mainly because during implementation you find that while the planning is done in terms of the database of the academies, you find that federations now and then request academies to support their athletes on an ad hoc basis, which then increase the numbers. But during planning, you will not be able to anticipate how many requests would come with regards to ad hoc support. Then when you plan, you then plan against the athletes that are on the database of the academies. Number of academies supported and the need to support athletes rights, and so equally the need to support the academies. But I must mention that the sports academies is mainly repeat support throughout the year. May not always be supporting 40, but some of the academies will then be supported repeatedly during the year. When you go to program 3, the first indicator, number of successful MOU progress report evaluated. We reported in the previous quarter, Chairperson, that we are experiencing challenges with regards to a response from SASCO. Yes, they were able to send us reports for quarter 1, 2, and 3 in quarter 3, but because the reports were submitted late, we could not report them as achieved in quarter 3, because when you look at this report of SASCO, it's not just receiving and then claiming achievement. We first have to assess the report and then do our own evaluation report as a department before we can then regard the target as achieved. But as we speak now in quarter 4, we were able to have all the the reports from SATCOM chairperson. When we look at a plan supported through the Ministerial Sports Bursary Program, this is one of those that are not achieved. But as I indicated earlier, because of the high number of athletes that were supported in the previous quarters, we had a balance of 12 to achieve the annual target. We then, as much as we have not achieved the target of 20, this 12 then concludes the performance for the year, enabling us to then achieve the annual target. 3.3 number of athletes supported through scientific support program per year. Yeah, Chairperson has already achieved the annual target. These four, then now, just additional to the achievement for the year. Yes, we may not have achieved against the 20, but overall, for the year, we have achieved that target, Chairperson. 3.4 number of drug free sport agencies supported. They were able to support Central Drug Authority as the drug-free agency that was outstanding for the year. 3.5 major intentional events receiving intergovernmental support per year. They were able to achieve that target as well, Chairperson. We go to 3.6, 3.7, that is national and international sporting events, exhibition or conference used to showcase South Africa as a sport tourist destination. And recognition honoring events, we're able to meet those targets as planned. And there were no exceeding there. Program 4, Chairperson. 4.1, good governance monitoring report generated. That we do not have challenges there. But with 4.2, number of sport education bodies receiving financial and non-financial support in an effort to assist them in meeting their transformation targets per year. While we had targeted 13, the achievement for the quarter was 2. Here, as much as we have not achieved against the targeted 13, we have actually achieved for the year, because for the first time this year, we were able to support all the targeted beneficiaries in quarter 3. While in other years, we in quarter 4, we did be supporting a high number. This, in 2019-20, we were able to support all of them in quarter 3, but that the 2 in quarter 4 is an addition to the plan 6. First MOU progress report evaluated. That was achieved as planned. Multi-purpose sports courts built. That was also achieved as planned, Chairperson. Just to mention that these multi-purpose courts are can be used for 5 or more sport codes, such as netball, tennis, volleyball, basketball, 5-a-side soccer, wheelchair tennis. And they were constructed in various areas of our country, for example, Big Fluor, Chambisa, in the Eastern Cape, in Muleti, in Limpopo, Northwest, and Western Cape. 4.5, EPG audit report with competitive MMF, National Federation specific charter and barometer outcomes. That was achieved as planned, Chairperson. The report was issued. Number of bilateral engagements implemented and multilateral engagements supported. Here, Chairperson, we exceeded slightly the target. The reason here being that when we plan, because of dependencies, some of the engagements, we find that we only know them about the planning has been done. But then we have to research how the resources are applied and be able to support these bilaterals or multilateral engagement. When we go to program 5, Chairperson, 5.1 number of community gyms and children's play parks constructed. We're able to achieve 10 as planned, where the local municipalities that benefited Ute Ndabankulu in the Eastern Cape, Nsinga and Ngoti in KZN, Mulemole in Limpopo, Welles Polokwane, Renosterberg, Soltlaki, and Soltlaki in the Northern Cape, Naledi and Maridane of West, Bido and Bido in the Western Cape. In terms of number of municipalities providing technical and management support as they construct their sport and recreation facilities, we're able to support the planned 40 municipalities, Chairperson. That's the end of the performance report. I'll then ask Chair, the acting CFO, Nemon Dile, who will then present on expenditure for the government. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members, DG of DSEC, and fellow colleagues. My name is Bongile Mondile. I'll be taking you through to the expenditure, budget and expenditure of fourth quarter for the former sport and recreation as at the 31st of March. The executive summary, the departmental financial performance as at the end of March, that is the 31st of March 2020, is as follows. The overall spending out of the budget of 1.2 billion, we had spent 1.1 billion, which represented 97.6% of the total allocation. The difference or the decline is due to the NMOC and high resignations on employees, and the department saw a 1.1 decline out of the total expenditure when you compare year on year to 2018-19 financial year. Spending on COE, compensation of employees, is at 87.7%, totaling an amount of 98.1 million out of the budget of 111.8 million. As I already said, the expenditure, it has gone down on COE when comparing to the previous financial year where we ended at 89.9, there was a drop of 2.2%. Expenditure on goods and services, we ended at 95%, which totals in rand value 167.2 million out of the budget of 176 million. The department saw a drop in expenditure of about 2.9% when comparing to the previous financial year 18-19. This drop happened due to the payment that we had made through DECO during 1920, but unfortunately the payment was effected in April. That payment was for AUSD Region 15. Transfer payment spending, we ended at 99.4%, which totals in rand value 855.6 million out of the budget of 860.4 million. There was a decrease of about 0.5% from the 100% spent in the previous financial year 2018. This was due to the high projection of households, HNHs for households, leave gratuities for the retiring colleagues or colleagues that have resigned. Again, the underspending on ministerial bursaries was due to learners that are claiming less than the budgeted 100,000 per learner. Payment for capital, next slide. Payment for capital assets, the expenditure ended at 99.9%, totaling 2.9 out of the budget of 2.9. This expenditure trend is in line with the previous financial year. This is in the comparison basically of the over, next slide please, overall expenditure, departmental budget in tabular form where we show economic classification. Current payments, we're comparing here the extreme right columns, which is the year 1920 to 1819, which was audited. And the total budget of the department, as I've already said, the final appropriation we were at 1.151 billion, and the expenditure is at end of March was at 1.123 million, which in total is 97.6%. Line item, compensation of employees, we had an expenditure of 98 million out of the budget of 111, we goods and services, we had a budget of 175.9. We spent 167 million, which translated to 95%. Transfers of subsidies, transfers to provinces, we had 620 million budget, we transferred 100%. Budget to our public entities, we had a budget of 38.5 million, we transferred 99.9%. Budget to our federations or NPIs, we had a budget of 189 million, we transferred 100%. Households, we had a budget of 12.8 million, we have spent 8 million, which translated to 63.1%. Payment for capital assets, we had a budget of 2.9, we spent 2.9, which translated to 99.9%. Payment for financial assets, we had write-offs of about 93,000. Program 1, the program 1 administration, we had a total budget of 140.5 million. We had a total expenditure of 131.2 million, which translated to 93.4%. The expenditure on households is for the leave, the payment for leave gratuities for retiring colleagues and also colleagues that have resigned. About 98.6% of that total expenditure in 1920 for the household was the payment of the one-off gratuity for the former minister and the former deputy minister. On COE, program 1 ended at 89.4%, which is a total value of 69 million out of the budget of 37.2. Goods and services, we had a budget of 55 million. We spent 54.8 million, which translated to 97.7%. Transfers and subsidies in program 1, we had a total budget of 5.2. We spent a budget of 4.2 million, which translated to 80.7%. Program 2, Active Nation. Next slide. Program 2 had a total budget of 755 million. We spent a budget expenditure of 755.1%, 1 million, sorry, which translated to 99.9%. Also, the payments here on household, it was for payments for the leave gratuity for the retiring and resigned colleagues. Online item, the expenditure on program 2, compensation of employees, we had spent a total of 98.7. Rent value is 10.3 million out of the appropriated budget of 10.4 million. Goods and services, we had an appropriated budget of 79.5 million. We spent 79.5 million. Which translated to 99.9%. Transfers and subsidies in this program, we had transferred the total budget of 665.4 million. Program 3, Winning Nation, we had a total budget of 77 million in this program, and we spent 63.3 million, which translated to 82.2%. When we go online items, compensation of employees, we had an adjusted budget of, or adjusted appropriation of 5.3 million. We spent 3.2 million, which translated to 60.5%. Goods and services in this program, we had 27.9 million and we spent 19.7 million, which translated to 70.6%. Transfers and subsidies, payment to the public entities or departmental agency, it was 25.6. We had transferred 100%. Household, this is the program where we had ministerial bursaries, as I've already alluded to, that the understanding would be due to the students allocated the ministerial bursaries claiming less. So we had a budget of 7.1 on household, and the expenditure ended at 3.7, which translates to 53.1%. And payments to the non-profits in this program, it was 100%, that is the budget of 10.9 and expended 10.9. Program 4, Sports Support, we have a budget of 163.8 million. We have spent 162.5 million, which translated to 99.2%. When we go through the line items,
compensation of employees, the budget in this program was 12.3 million. We spent 11.2 million, which translated to 91.2%. Goods and services, we had a budget of 5.5. We spent 5.509, and they translated to 98.9%. Transfers and subsidies in this program, public entities, we paid 12.8, which is 100% of the budget. Households, they were employees that we paid leave days or leave gratuities. The budget was 200,000, we paid 54,000, which is 27%. Non-profit institutions, the budget was 132.8 million, we paid 100%. Program 5, infrastructure support. The total budget in this program is 14 million. We had an expenditure total of 11.6 million, which translates to 83%. When we go on 9 items, the compensation of employees, the budget was 6.8 million. This is the end of our presentation. Thank you for the financial report for the Ordinary Recreation as at the 31st of March.
Thank you, DJ.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. Noting the issue of time, we have only two last presentations, and that is which is not really long. Is the one on the quarter one. Because as we all know, Honorable Chair, that there was not much activity there. So we can just try and summarize, and then COVID-19 report. And in that way, then we should be able to just do that within the time, as you had indicated, the pressure of time. So can I then ask, Honorable Chair, we will really not be long with the first quarter, and then we ask DDG Khumalo to talk to the COVID-19. We will then turn over back to the chair.
Okay, DG, whilst you are doing that, you must reflect on the information that we asked that you must forward to us, in order that when we are doing engagement, it must be inclusive. You understand me? Whoever was going to take us through on the information that is sent to us.
I think, Honorable Chair, that would be problematic for us, because we come here, Chair, with an understanding of what is on the agenda, and the practice to always come, and then new things are coming up, and then we will be accused of either not answering properly or giving adequate information. This is, I think, Chair, just for the record, we'll request that if we are asked and don't think the agenda is changed, then we are informed that the agenda is changed.
No, DJ, I don't want to that you must go off of the agenda if you don't feel like, but you must expect that you did forward information. It's just a response on all questions that you can imagine. That's the only thing that I wanted to say. Because that information, we did get it. And in case that anyone wants to ask to the information that is on our hands, I'm not trying to change the agenda. Agenda was...
Honorable Chair, we will do so when questions arise. We will then respond.
Yes.
Well, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members, we are presenting the first quarter, and as I said, I will summarize as much as I can here, unless Honorable Members want more details. But Honorable Members, just as a background, is that we are presenting a report that was, in fact, merely not supposed to be much of reporting, based on the fact that this is a report that was under the period of the COVID-19 lockdown, and there was hardly any activities that the department could really undertake. in terms of its performance plan. In fact, even the performance plan itself had to be changed and present a new one to the portfolio committee. However, for the purposes of adhering to the requirements of reporting, we will take care of the portfolio committee just through at a high level. And I will ask that we move to the next slide. Nulama, I think if we go to slide 7, I think that will assist us. Slide 7, Honorable Chair, just shows the overall performance that the department had during this period of lockdown, and that we could only have 29% of the targets out of 21 that could be performed, as we are aware of the context here, that most of our activities are face-to-face, people-driven activities, gatherings, and all those have serious restrictions under the period of lockdown, which could only get easing as we are now only in level 2, and there are still activities we cannot do. If we move to the next slide, that does indicate then which targets could not be achieved due to this situation. It is 15 targets that could not be done at all, and that is the provision of support to athletes as well as the sport academies, the provision of sport and recreation promotion. In a nutshell, Honorable Chair, to summarize this is to just indicate that in Program 2, there was nothing really that could be done at all. So because schools are closed, there was just a complete shutdown in terms of ability to do that. So that is why if you look at this sport and recreation program, Program 2, and these are the targets that nothing could be done at all. If we move to the next slide, and we then also indicate that under Program 3, which is ACPD, again, the number of activities are people-driven, face-to-face. Again, here, like international engagement, the skies were closed, no borders were shut, so there was nothing much that could be done, and this work requires people-to-people engagement. So again, here we are just indicating that very few, I think one target maybe was done there. So it's the same thing here, if you move to the next slide. So to give a crystallity on crystallization of this, we're just indicating just that only targets that could be done were 3 in administration, because administration is office-based and office-bound. And then we've got Program 2, which is now the new program under the new department, which is recreation, development, and sport promotion. That is how we are calling the focus on sport and the new Department of Sport, Arts, and Culture. And then under arts and culture promotion and development, only 2 targets were possible to be pursued and be done and were achieved. And then under heritage preservation and promotion, that is now only 1 target could be achieved. So if we move to the next slide, under administration, when we say the targets that were achieved, you can move to the table, Lulam. Yes, if we look at the table, we had the target of number of awareness. No, let's go to the table. Slide 16, and we'll see there, Honorable Chair, that this is the target relating to the awareness campaigns to activate profile of the work of the department. These were 2, we did 3. If you look at the slide 17, it's the same. And here we are having, slide 18, and also we needed to have 100% of invoices being paid within 30 days, that was done. And then, of course, 100% also here, this is in relation to councils or boards that are fully functional. All 27 are functional. Can we then move to the next Program 2? Program 2, there is nothing to report because nothing was achieved in this, as we have indicated. And the honorable members will see there all those. So I will take it as read. Can we move to Program 3? Under Program 3, the table, will indicate there that the target that was achieved, as I said too, it was the issue of passage of documents received and translated, and that is what we did, and 100% of that was achieved of the 45 documents. The next target, can move to the next slide. And then this target was not achieved, as I've indicated, due to the challenges of COVID. We can move to the next slide. And we'll just move to program four. The table of program four. Honorable Chair, we indicated earlier in slide 11 that only one target was achieved also in program four, and the other two were not achieved due to the COVID situation. So if we go to that target that was achieved, it is the newly built or modern library supported. This is mainly administrative work to transfer money to the provinces, and that is what then was done. Can I then ask also CFO at a high level to then talk to the issue of the finances?
Thanks, Honorable Chair and DG. In terms of the expenditure for sports, arts and culture, quota one, the overall spending was standing at 1.1 billion, which translated into 22% of the budget of 4.7 billion as at the end of 30 June 2020. And compared to the spending of the prior year, the expenditure was 1.2 billion was incurred, and there is a decrease of 8.6% in expenditure, and is mainly attributed to cancellation of departmental events scheduled to take place in the first quarter as a result of the national COVID-19 lockdown. On the compensation of employees, the spending is at 82.9%, 82.9 million, which translated to 21% against the adjusted appropriation of 397.8 million. The expenditure compared to the prior financial year same period is 88.1 million and has decreased by 5.8% as a result of the merger of the former department, where there was now one minister and one deputy minister and one DG, compared to the previous two departments where there were ministers and two deputy ministers and two DGs. So that is the reason for the, among others, for the savings. On goods and services, the spending at the end of the quarter was 100 million against an adjusted budget of 482 million. Compared to the same period previous year, the spending was 133 million. There is a decrease of 24%, and this is due to cancellation of departmental events scheduled to take place in the first quarter. Next slide. On departmental agencies and accounts, which is our public entity, the expenditure was at 407.2 million against the adjusted budget of 1.6 billion. The expenditure compared to the prior financial year, which was at 391.2 million, has increased by 4.1% due to the nominal growth of the subsidies to the public entity. On the CAPEX, there was no spending against the adjusted budget. The expenditure in comparison to the prior year was also nil. No transfers were made in the current financial year. The department did not want to run a risk of transferring, knowing that some of the things will be subjected to reprioritization for the COVID-19 fiscal support package. Next slide. On provinces and municipalities, which is our conditional grant, there was an expenditure of 392 million, which translated into 25% of the adjusted budget relating to the community library and the mass participation conditional grant. On higher education and institutions, the expenditure is at 1.6 million against a budget of 6.8 million. compared to the same period the prior year, the financial year was 2 million was incurred, resulting in a decline of 22% as a result of the human language technology project based on the project plan. On higher education CAPEX, there was no expenditure in both financial year, and the budget is also for the Chief Charlie Capital Project administered by the University of Georgia. Next slide, please. On foreign government and international organizations, the expenditure is 2.1 million against an adjusted budget of 5.3 million. No expenditure was incurred in the same period prior year. The expenditure relates to the African World Heritage Fund based on the memorandum of agreement. On public corporation and private enterprises, the expenditure is 17.1 million against an appropriated budget of 48 million. Compared to the same period in the prior year, the expenditure was 51.7 million, which translated in a decline of 67%. This is due to the events which were scheduled to take place in the first quarter that we will come to. Next slide. On private corporation capital transfer, there was no expenditure against an appropriated budget of 582. On household, the expenditure was 8 million, which is 37% of the budget. Compared to the same period, financial year expenditure was 9 million incurred, and there's a decline of 11%, and similarly is due to cancellation of events. Next slide. Non-profit institution current, there is an expenditure of 51 million, which is 14% of the budget, and compared with the prior year.
Sorry, therefore, are you able to just summarize also just as a COVID also to present?
Yes, I'll just quickly finish the summary of the edus, will take them as read. On non-profit institution CAPEX, the expenditure was 1.3 million, which is 30% against the budget. And compared to the same, there was no expenditure. Next slide. On machinery, 491,000 was incurred against the budget of 11 million. On heritage assets, the expenditure was, there was no expenditure against the budget of 180 million. Compared to the same period, there was expenditure of 23.1 million. Next slide. On software, there was no expenditure in the first quarter, and then in terms of financial assets, there's an expenditure of 8,000 was incurred again, adjusted compared to the same period, there was a need expenditure. And that is the summary of the expenditure of the first quarter. Thank you, DG, and thank you, Chairperson.
Hey,
DG
Kumalo, COVID.
Thank you very much, DG. Good morning, Chairperson. Of the portfolio committee, morning to the members, all the honourable members. I would try my best, honourable chair, to go fairly quickly through the presentation. The department would like to brief the portfolio committee on the first wave COVID relief initiatives that have been implemented. Lulama, if you go then to the next slide, here, Honorable Chair, we're giving just a background on what we are going to cover in this update. We will start off by briefly taking the members through the first wave COVID relief to date, the performance as of the date of that was set for the meeting. And then we would then give an outline of the process that has been undertaken on the second wave, including other forms of funding that the department has dispersed or will be participating in. So if we go to slide number 4, thanks Dulama, this particular slide, Honorable Chair and members, talks to, as I said, the overall performance in terms of the first wave COVID-19 relief that the department disbursed to the applicants. The numbers as of the 20th of August in terms of the coverage of the report, Honorable Chair. Total number of the application stood at 5786, and this is inclusive of the 500 applications for sports. The total number recommended, which includes multiple beneficiaries, stood at 4718, inclusive of the 319 for sports in 2007 that went through the appeals process. Total number going through adjudication at the, on the 27th of August stood at 67, and that is inclusive of the 40 that came from sports. Total number not recommended, 1,001, inclusive of 135 sports. Total number for which payments have been made stood at 3608. There were also duplications that were discovered in the process of verification on a Honorable Chair, and there are those that were disqualified from onset due to them not meeting even the basic criteria that were set. So that number, duplications and those disqualified, stood at 472. Total number where payment is being processed as of the date of 28th August, going through the verification process while that has been done, stood at 638. Total number and value of what has been paid at, as of the 28th of August is 68,434,741, and this is inclusive of the 6.2 million for sport. Going on to the next slide, Honorable Chair, we thought we would also give the sense, the portfolio, a sense, the portfolio committee of the category of the beneficiaries in terms of the different types that made up the beneficiaries. So I would not necessarily read that list, Honorable Chair, but suffice to say, it makes up, it's made up of the across genre formations of creatives within the industry. There were also lessons that we learned as a department, as highlighted in this particular slide, which basically we have then taken into account going into the second wave. It's a range of lessons learned, experiences and challenges, ranging from the provision of required support documents, the issues related to the demographics of the country, differentiation of the application, the amount of funding in terms of the communication and the expectation, the readiness of the IT system, the processes of data capturing, where the whole process proved to be extremely labor intensive, time consuming and unwieldy. We had to actually make sure that we continuously collaborate with the sector and other stakeholders and improve on that to prevent duplication and enhance communication. Also, opportunistic applicants emerged in the process, as indicated in the previous slide as well, process between verification and payment, where we had to make sure that that is very thorough, including also issues of making sure that between downloading, verification, and sending the documents for payment, the thorough verification that is being done. So that's basically just an outline very broadly, Honorable Chair, on the first wave as of the 28th of August. Going forward, allow me to then talk to the second wave COVID relief funding disbursement process that the department followed. I would like to start off by just highlighting the budget that was available during the special adjustment budget. 250 million was allocated for COVID-19 relief to the department. Out of this 250 million, 177 million was allocated for the national department, and 68 million was made, which was made up of 58 million for provinces relief funding and 10 million for libraries health and safety protocols to ensure compliance to the health and safety protocols. The balance of the 5 million was for the acquisition of the PPE and decontamination services for the DZ5 sites and buildings. Out of the 58 million for the provinces, 50 million has already been transferred and confirmed by finance. Out of the funds of the DZEC, 68.4 million has been spent and commitments for outstanding beneficiaries stood at 31.6 million. This results to the available budget of 77 million, of which 11.5 million has been reinforced for contribution towards partnership with the Department of Small Business and Development, which is also part of the second wave relief funding, and I'll talk to that very briefly as well, Honorable Chair. The anticipated total number of beneficiaries for the second wave, covering athletes and arts practitioners, is projected to be 11,666. This next slide talks to the beneficiaries, which basically is categorized in terms of the sports beneficiaries in the second wave, which is currently on, and the arts and arts culture and heritage beneficiaries. We've just outlined the whole coverage in terms of what the sports sector covers, in terms of the beneficiaries within the sports sector, and also what the arts, culture, and heritage sector also covers. There is a bit more detail also on this one in the upcoming slide. The next slide outlines the application process that we followed, which basically for the sports application process, the department followed almost or more or less the same process that was followed in the first wave, but it was based on the online application process. The fitness instructors and practitioners who will not be processed through the federations but directly by the department. For the arts, culture and heritage application process, the department has enlisted the services of BASA and NAC to provide the end-to-end management and coordination of the second phase of the relief application process utilizing their grant management system. NAC utilized the web-based applications and BASA managed the mobile app application, which is WhatsApp. The application forms were in six languages depicted there, which we had to cluster, and the recommendations of successful applications are forwarded to DZEC for final approval. So the whole value chain process involves both these two agencies and the department in terms of the department doing the approval. The web-based application process went live on the 17th of August and closed yesterday. And the WhatsApp-based application process went live on the 19th of August and closes on Wednesday, the 2nd of September. The next slide, Honorable Chair, we're giving information on the Solidarity Fund apportionment that has been afforded to the department. A total of 10,000 food or cash vouchers have been made available to the department at a cost of 700 rand each, amounting to a total of 7 million. The department, together with the provinces, developed a list of beneficiaries that will then receive the vouchers. This process is currently on, Honorable Chair. Each province will receive 1,000 vouchers. The beneficiaries will be identified as follows: 50% urban and 50% rural area. The vouchers will be made available to the athletes, artists, freelancers, sports and arts legends, including the missing middle. The vouchers will be distributed by the channels that have been identified or will be identified by the Solidarity Fund. And this particular category of funding would exclude the social grant and the UIF recipients or beneficiaries. The database will be screened against through the Department of Social Development to ensure that beneficiaries are not recipients of the SASA grant. As indicated, the payment process would be through the Solidarity Fund channel. The next slide then talks to partnerships with the DSBD. As I indicated, Honorable Chair, that there are these different forms of funding for the secondary relief, which is the main one that I spoke to, the Solidarity Fund, and this is the third one, where we've gone into partnership with the Department of Small Business and Development, contributing 11.5 million each, and the total amount is 23 million. The intended beneficiaries for this particular joint funding, or as I would say, is the crafters, the designers, the visual artists, and those practitioners within the audiovisual and multimedia sector. The status of this one or the
I think, DG, you can just wrap up at that level for now. Because I think Honorable Mumba said the document, we are already 5 minutes into their time. Yeah.
No, that is fine. The rest of the document, as indicated, is just expanding on the processes that we followed in terms of eligibility, in terms of the exclusions, as well. As the DG says, the document was circulated, other considerations, the collaboration with the provinces, the entities and sector organizations, the monitoring and the risk mitigation that we ensured. And the last few slides, Honorable Chair, was providing a status on the directions and the opening of the venues and contact spots. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. Thank you, DG.
DG, we do apologize. I'm suspecting all of us were part of being members of South Africa. We know, we see how important is the time, but really, we do apologize as well as when I was saying that we do want the information and but we can't do the oversight without information. But it seems that also we do have documents. But it's nice when we are talking through the documents. People that were apologizing that you are asking you, because we want to pose questions and clarification and propose a way forward to our department's plan. Anything
to say? No, we are fine, Honorable Chairperson. We are fine. We are ready for clarities to be provided as per the direction of the Chair and the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Can Zoleka assist me with the hand?
Chair, for now we have Mr. Mhlongo, Ms. Malumane, and Mr. Baba.
In that order, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chair.
3 minutes rule is applicable in order that we must have time to do follow-up questions.
Thank you,
monitor
Chair.
That 3 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take 1 minute for my members if time permits, because I know there are questions, two of them.
They must tell me their hands are up.
I'm telling you on their behalf. I'll have a second bite. They'll tell me, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted an explanation. Is it legislated for the former minister to get gratuity? Can the DG share that? And how much was given to both former minister and the deputy? And can I get the document? I'm not sure if it's legislated. And can you correct it? Is it 88 million on your slide? Or correct me, Chair, on that. On the issue that I've raised before, Chair, regarding SARA and NAC documents, why they were late, I think the DG must explain to us why these documents, we only got them yesterday. What was the reason? Are they undermining us? Are they undermining you as the chairperson of the committee? And Chair, I want to put it to the DG that, can I ask the DG, did SARA take you to public protector? for maladministration and other complaints? If yes, can you explain what was the reason? And did they again take you to court, not to public protector, but to court? And what was the outcome? And did you implement all the outcomes of public protector since 2017? And I wanted to find out, Chair, on the deliberation between last time regarding funding. The DG told us that they're giving funding since 2014. I put it to you, DG, those funding were for international tours. The funding was not for operational expenses. Can I ask the DG, why did SARA to date did not receive the operational expenses or budget, so to say? Okay, another question that I wanted to ask the DG, why other entities or other utilities or other shareholders receiving funds from the department, but SARA is not receiving funds from the department? For an example, they've received plus minus 5 to 25 million. As an example, I'll put it to you that the academia that have received it, Otecha, the Department of Arts and Culture has failed SARA and has failed us. In fact, the DG misrepresented his presentation last time. Maybe he must correct that. Chairperson, again, regarding the wave, the first wave, out of 150 million, they've used...
This is your last question.
The question is, out of 150 million, they've used 86 million. Where is the budget of... Where is the balance in the book? Because I didn't see the balance of the carrying over balance from 150 million to minus 68 million today that have been used. Chair, regarding the adjudication.
Thank you, Honorable. You finish your 3 minutes. The next person will come in the next bite.
And I think you'll note, Chair, that they're going to give me 1 minute each, my members, before we go in for the second slide. Thanks.
I'll hear from your members.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
Honorable Malaman. Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation that is made by the department. And first thing, let me congratulate the department, especially when it comes to sports and recreation, when for their achievement of 100%. So that's good work. Well done. Let's continue doing that with our targets. But also, as I congratulate them, I want to understand about their targets. Did the targets they were correct, or they under maybe estimated their target so that they can overachieve? The other thing that I want to check is that according to the 2017-2018 ATP, the department had a quarterly target of attracting 5,000 participants for the Unite campaign. In 2019-2020, the quarterly target was lowered to 1,000. What is the intention? Why was it lowered also on that one? The other thing that I want to speak about is the issue of what is the status of the 10 outdoor play parks constructed? Are they complete? Are they operational now? Or what is it? And where did they maybe, where are they situated? The other thing that I want to request to the department is that their support to the municipalities, can they also maybe one day come with the information to show in, because especially I met Enhlanzeni municipality, that in Enhlanzeni municipality, we are supporting Enhlanzeni municipality with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that we can also do the oversight yet in our municipalities where we are. Thank you, Chair. Chair?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
The issue of the questions and whatsoever about the issue of presentation by the department. The department is correct. They need to present everything to us. If maybe we don't have time, we've got a right to write a question, request responses to the department through the committee, or we can write ourselves so that maybe if there are other things, they can respond in writing. Thank you, Chair.
We have got 1 minute. Thank you, left. Thank you so much.
The next person is Honorable Madlingozi. It's Honorable Faba here. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, I'm going to start off, and I think Honorable, my colleague Honorable Tepo Mslongo spoke about it. And this is on page 34, it was on the gratuity for previous ministers. Now, Chairperson, I don't get this. I need to know how much was paid to them and for what. These ministers get quite a good salary.
You're taking your time.
I need to know on that. We need to know how much for the ex-ministers and exactly why. Then, is there any investigations on the procurement on the COVID-19 funding so far on people getting tenders irregularly? I need to know about that through the department. What success can be proved by the Love Life? As I can't see that anything happened with Love Life in any case through the past years. Now, I see there was money that was the Department of Health, the operational transfers. Can this money not rather be redistributed to some of the sporting federation, which is in trouble at this stage through this COVID period? And then what was my last question? I just want to see where that was. Oh, yes, the one of where the first presenter was talking to us and saying to us that because of SASCOC's fourth quarter report, that they can't reach their targets. Now, Chairperson, from what I understand, SASCOC did give in their report on time. So I need to have clarity, and I want us to have this on record, that this official that was saying that SASCOC did not, through this memorandum of understanding on their reports, give their reports in time. So that when we get to SASCOC again, that we can take this on with SASCOC, if it is SASCOC's issue. But I can't see how SASCOC can be the reason for the department not achieving these targets. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member, it's a pity these entities are not with us. So if they were with us, they were going to respond. So that's why sometimes if it was a normal procedure, we do invite them. So now it's your word against each department, but the SASCOC is not here, but you have got a right to ask, but I'm just talking about the reality. SASCOC is not here to answer that question, but I've noted what you are saying. Honorable Matlingo.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry,
Bob Matlingo's apology. Chair, there was a minute from my colleague. I think you've noted that. Thanks.
I'm terrible.
Absolutely, Shadow Minister. Absolutely.
I'm still the chairperson from the Honorable Madlingozi.
Thank you, Chair. Let me greet the DG, the DDG, members of the Portfolio Committee, and everyone. My question is, for the Mzansi golden economy, at what percentage is the budget cut for the events that are under the Mzansi golden economy? Because I'm hearing another party coming in and saying that for the same music festival that they've been doing. But they want something like 1/8 of their price. And I understand that there is also this live streaming, but does it, you know, relate with the budget that they've been given? Another thing is this is the month of the heritage, and one of our icons, Stephen Bantu Biko, was murdered on the 12th of this month, 1977, by the murderers police of the apartheid regime. And I would like to know from the government that, from the department, that is it known the route that the murderous police took while they were killing Mr. Van Dibo, while he was being transported naked? On that, is that road known, and what is it, and what are we going to do about it? And another question that I have is the preservation of the names of the murderers, the white people that were leading our country at that time, to be kept and preserved. I don't think that it should be fair for us to be hearing these names of the people that killed him and have genocidal tendencies for our people. Thank you, Chair.
You were on spot in your 3 minutes. Thank you so much. So,
Mr. CRB and then Mrs. Van Dijk, Chair.
Okay. In that order.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to the DG and his delegation and members of the Portfolio Committee. My apologies for arriving late to the meeting, Chair. And I want to start by thanking Mr. Mthongo for waking up and realizing that he's now representing a party. I think that's a good thing. My questions are...
Just a moment, Honorable.
Mr. Siabe must wake up early. I'm representing a constituency, and I've got a right to ask any question here. You are out of order.
I'll monitor this. Your minutes when I'm conversing here. Please, guys, don't do this. I will call you guys when we have this order. Honorable Siabe.
Thank you very much.
And you have a ruling chair. Is he out of order or not?
I'm not in trouble. Of what? Of telling you that you are presenting DA, are you not?
Oh, I'm presenting DA. Did he say that? You didn't hear it from the chair.
I can say that again, Chair.
Can you fire your questions, Honorable Member?
Thank you, Chair. My first question is on the measure. Just to understand if they are done with the organogram. And if they are done, then all the vacancies filled, or how many vacancies are still open? I heard in the last report, the CFO of the department, the new department, reporting that there are savings because they no longer have two ministers and two deputies and two DGs. Maybe on two DGs, yes. But I don't think... this new Department of Sports, Arts and Culture has ever had two ministers and two deputies. Maybe if he can explain better so that we don't compare apples and oranges. On slide 26, the department supported only 2 out of 13 sporting codes for transformation. Why and how do they hope to move forward? Because transformation is key in this era of ours. On slide 61, it is seen that they are reporting their financials on an adjusted budget instead of the main appropriation. I might be wrong. I will need clarity from that. How does the department handle its procurement of COVID-19 consumables? Are there any reportable challenges that they might have experienced? putting the, my last question, Chair, putting the question of the Honourable Fab by a different group, that funds for Love Life were withheld because of a business plan. Can they break the committee of the challenges that are faced by Love Life? Thanks very much.
Your term is up. Honourable Sunday.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. My first question is, I see that 50 million rand will be distributed amongst the provinces. I want to know whether that 50 million is additional to what the minister in previous, or what was presented to us in previous committee meetings, what the provinces from the inside will be pledging. Can we maybe get can we get a breakdown, first province, what they eventually, what was put out by for COVID or for this funding per province, and how that money was distributed or spent within the provinces. I think it's important because so that we can have a rough idea of what went actually went to the provinces. That's the one question. I also am curious. I see that a few people received 53,000 rand, and I was wondering whether we can also get a breakdown of maybe what the company is and what it stands for, because I'm curious, like curiosity backpackers, what did they, why were they on the beneficiary list? If we can get clarity on those 53,000 people that received the beneficiary of that. Then I have a concern about this partnership with the Department of Small Business Development. My concern is that it seems to me that the funding was ring-fenced before there was a MOI, before the memorandum of agreement was determined. And it wasn't discussed beforehand with the committee. So I want to know if we can receive a copy of the Culture and Creative Industries Federation of South Africa of the problem statement. They also just an entity of the department, and why will they be benefiting in such a and not the other like say SASCO? Why are they being treated otherwise?
Round up your question.
I also want to know whether this allocation is additional to their budget, and if the companies who will be benefiting from this has already been determined, because I was arrived to the amount of 22 million before a memorandum was agreed to. And then on the library,
your chapter is up.
You
present? Yes, Ms. Simon. Don't elaborate too much, because if you have so many questions, just brief to the point. Your time is up. We'll check in the second round. Thank you, Honourable Member. Who else?
That is all for now, Chair.
Please, DJ.
Chair, I thought you'll give me my 1 minute from Mr. Faber.
DJ, you're still going to have second round. You don't know whether Mr. Faber will need that 1 minute. I'm not old, Mkhombo, man. I'm still young, you know, at heart.
Yes, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Can I allow the CFO and my colleagues to then respond to the relevant questions, financials, as well as PDC Kumalo on the questions of some of the questions relating to COVID? And so the order will be CFO, and then CFO, it will be another CFO from sport on the issues that have been raised about the payment of the gratuities, and then thereafter we will have the response from...
Don't take a minute to give your...
Yeah, okay.
Your answer. You will get into our...
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I have CFO, and then in that sequence, please.
Please.
To the point, CFO.
Thank you. I will start with the allocation for COVID within the balance of 7 billion. In terms of the report that we presented,
it was not presented at that level of economic certification. I will therefore request that I can present the budget of COVID as the expenditure for COVID and budget for COVID as a report to the member, where we can show the spending of the COVID in terms of the allocation. I can briefly share with the members to say, as you we have indicated, the budget for COVID, especially the one for the beneficiaries, is transferred to NAC, to Business Up South Africa, to Sports Trust, as well as National Film and Video Foundation. And these entities are the ones spending or paying our beneficiaries on our behalf. So we would like to present a breakdown of how these four entities have spent the budget for the beneficiaries. And in terms of the departmental budget, we can also indicate that in the goods and services, how are we procuring the PPEs for the department, as well as how we have spent on the decontamination of the five sites of the building. And I'll also at the same time touch on a question asked by Honorable Faiba and Honorable Diaby about the procurement related to COVID-19. In the department, the direct procurement related to COVID-19 refers to when we were, of course, buying PPE for employees, and also during the decontamination of the building when there was a incident of COVID-19 of the employees. And all this, the procurement was done through the National Treasury database, where we obtained quotations. There was no tender issues for PPEs by the department. It was quotation obtained and through the National Treasury transversal tender. And that's how we procured for the PPEs, as well as the decontamination of the building. And I also want to touch on the issue of the merger, that the department currently, what we did was to do a startup structure or a startup organogram, so that the employees of both former sports and recreation and arts can be put on a structure and be able to perform work as from the 1st of April. So that we call a startup structure, which was approved by Public Service and Administration Minister as a startup structure. And in that approval, it was also expressed clearly that it is a startup structure and the department must therefore embark on organizational design, which will now design how the new department will look like, how many people it will have to perform its mandate. And that process is in progress, and it will be done together with the help of the experts from the Public Service Administration Department. And thereafter, that's when we'll come back to the portfolio committee to present the new structure of the department and how many posts the new department will have. And currently, because of the startup structure process, we cannot really say because of unfilled vacancies, because this is a startup structure, although with the strategic position, we make sure that those positions are filled. If I go further and explain the issue of the savings in the financial report, to say there was a saving, it is because when we compare the previous financial year, we had to combine the what we call the trial balance and general ledger of the former two departments, so that we can see combined department how much they spend, and compared to the new department, which is now a new establishment. But the expenditure, in order to compare oranges to oranges, we had to combine the previous department. Obviously, they will have a salary for the minister, for the two ministers and the two deputy ministers. And that is why you have seen that, because in the new department there's only one minister and one deputy. That's how you realize the saving of the positions that have been removed from the structure. I also want to touch on the we will share the breakdown with Honorable Fundate on how the provinces have been allocated the COVID funds, but to date we don't have the financial report, but for now we will share with the honorable members the allocation per province. On the issue of the beneficiaries receiving 53,000, it is because there was a category called the digital allocation in the COVID relief process. In the digital allocation involved where applicants apply to do a live streaming event, and in this instance, they're also empowering other artists by appointing them to perform on those live streaming events. That is why you see their allocation is not within the baseline of 20,000 that the department has set up. It accommodated what the proposal cost will be, but there was a ceiling of 75,000 per application. And the process was that those approved, the first tranche will be 53,000, and after they produce the performance, then they will be allocated the balance remaining in terms of the agreement that they have entered with the department. Thank you, DG and honorable members. I will stop there and allow my colleagues to continue. Thank you.
Mongele.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson and members, I'm responding to the question of Mr. Mfangwa, payment of extra gratuity. Yes, it is legislated. We paid these members, Minister Khasa and Deputy Minister Osdeven, based on the Government Gazette of 12 November 2008, where it's addressing or it's relating to members of executives, deputy ministers, or members of National Assembly who have served more than 5 years to be paid the once-off gratuity with 4 months of their pensionable salary for every 5 years of service. That's what we refer to. And the payments for the minister cluster, I think the member requested the amount. It was 1,759,996. And for Deputy Minister Osdeven, it was 1,848,826. That is before tax. This is gross amount which were taxable accordingly. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Manasse, any? Sports Federation?
Yes, thank you, DG. Yes, thanks, DG. We have Chief Director in the meeting.
Yeah, let's do that, please.
Please, we still expect
DG, can I
check? Yes, Lebuchan.
Yes, Gigi, thank you very much. I think there were questions from the Honorable Molomani dealing with primarily issues of infrastructure. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to Honorable Members and colleagues. The question specifically in relation to the outdoor gyms, what is their status? Perhaps I should first indicate that this is a program that started as early as 2014, and from 2014 to 2018, 41 gyms were constructed DG, and we have actually codified our information in such a way that it will then be able to give a reflection about the specific site or even where these gyms were constructed, and it is of course an information easily
shared with honorable members. Gym by gym, there is a specific location, including the budget that was spent per site. And then for 2019 and to 2021, we entered into a new contract already we have achieved the target in relation to 2019 to 2020, the 10 gyms were constructed, and the list is also available in that regard. Only in 2021, one gym has been constructed at the Winnie Mandela precinct. The intention of follow that integrated model of building both arts and culture infrastructure in the same precinct with the infrastructure. So the list is also available side by side, and of course these gyms are functional as we speak. Perhaps those who have built in earlier years, we may find that conditions are not as perfect, but of course they were constructed. In relation to the MIG project, Chairperson, the specific support that the department beyond just making allocations, it's primarily around issues of project management, which in essence speaks to issue of assisting them with project implementation plans, which must show when do you intend to appoint the service provider, when do the contractor, when you anticipate the projects to be completed. And I must say, even though we do have not all these roads at the ground, municipalities are quite very difficult with, amongst others, of course, it would be issues that the money that we would have allocated, even if we say it is a ring-fenced amount, it looks like those monies, when they get to the municipality, the ring falls away and just and to use it for other things, including paying salaries and so on. We also do site inspections and meetings, because we've got an obligation to ensure that when the product or facility is complete and with what is in the norms and standards. And I should also confirm, Chairperson, as Honorable Roman have actually asked, when I go to a specific municipality, what exactly do you do there? We have an info, a spreadsheet year by year of each and every single project that has been allocated since the inception of the project, which amongst others of the allocation which has been given, an expenditure date, and what has been the progress on site. But we have also improved on that specific sheet to ensure that we even include the districts where these projects are actually situated, so as to be able to account also consistent with the district development model and any other form of financing that may be required. The issue of the target, do we under target or over target? Well, as far as infrastructure is concerned, you would know that this is the money that we actually get from the municipality, and regulated by its contract framework, and we would from now and then reflect the MTF budget. So as and when we do the allocation, yes, we've got the budget already, because it is equally reflected in the framework of the dollar. And then we will then approve municipalities and allocate based on number of applications that we have received, but also on the budget requirements of each and every project. But it's very rare, Chair, that we would approve the exact amount requested by municipalities. Sometimes we become and want to do all the roads, voice and fancy things that are not necessarily related to the main core form. We would then cut from now on. So that's how we then get to determine basically that moving forward, what is the number of municipalities we're going to be supporting. But the number that will be allocated for the coming year will be significantly less than the target that we set in the APP, appreciating that from now and then there are certain municipalities that we will have to carry over to the next financial year because they don't impact. And that's why an ATP target will always be above the number of municipalities. I want to deliver personally. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, thanks very much, Chairperson. I think, I don't know, did DJ Komalo, was there anything from your side before I answer the questions directly to me that were raised by the honorable members? Was there anything, so you make sure we don't miss anything? DJ Komalo? If not, you will come after me then. Can I ask Ivan Langefeld about
that? I'm trying to unmute. My apologies. Yes, I would like to respond to the question from Honorable Madingozi on the MGE project. And say, yes, indeed, we had as a department overall to reprioritize the budget as has been reported. So the same thing applies, Honorable Chairperson, on the output indicator, that is the number of projects in the creative industry that are supported through the Mzansi Golden Economy Program, where we had to reduce the planned annual target of 88 to 12. We can, DG, provide further detail in terms of the content as has been asked by the honourable members. I also want to just address the question on from Honourable Van Dijk with regard to the partnership with the Department of Small Business. Is my voice not protecting? I was saying I would also like to address the question from Honorable Van Dijk and Honorable Chairperson on the joint partnership with the Department of Small Business and Development. Just to say, our presentation said this was in response to a plea from the Cultural and Creative Industries Federation of South Africa. This particular joint funding is being managed by the two departments. There isn't a transfer with regard to this particular aspect that is being provided to CISA. But what we're saying is that in terms of the consultation process and working with the Federation, because what is being targeted here are specifically those subsectors that, like the crafters, for instance, largely been marginalized. And then there are others like design, visual arts, and audiovisual, where it's a specific target, hence the set aside that you are talking about. But I just wanted to clarify, DG, that there isn't a transfer. We didn't mention a transfer in our presentation, but we said this was in response to the outcry of the sector organizations through the voice of CISA. DG, you can then address the issue of the
23 million. Yeah. Steve Bigometa and raised Ivan.
Thanks, DG, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members and colleagues. I just want to address the three matters or the three issues raised by Honorable Madlinkozi related to the legacy of Steve Biko. Of course, the department contributed and actually started the Steve Biko Center in Ginsberg in King Williamstown through the Steve Biko Foundation. I think at the time we spent an amount of over 100 million to develop the center through the foundation, particularly to be able to implement programs to preserve and promote the legacy of Steve Biko, including the commemoration of his murder annually program. second element links to the road that was used, if I heard Honorable Madlingozi correctly, the road that was used to transport him from the Eastern Cape to Pretoria. We are in the process, and as I've indicated as well, that of course the foundation through the centre in its educational programs would do the kinds of research that would map out the road that was used, comprising all the different, in fact, the route that was used, comprising all the different roads from the Eastern Cape to Pretoria. But I was just thinking also as I was listening to the question that the department is rolling out currently the Resistance and Liberation Heritage Route project. And one of the work streams that has been established for rolling out this project is the research and content development work stream. And I think it would be interesting for that work stream to maybe by way of complementing the work that the center in Ginsberg is doing, is to also research the roads that make up the route that was used to transport him from Eastern Cape to Pretoria, and to map out that that route. So, Honorable Madlingozi, through the chair, that's perhaps one of the things that the department can do in terms of the road. I think the last element that was raised was the unfairness of hearing the names of the people who killed him. The department doesn't have a program to commemorate or conserve or promote the names of the people who killed him that we are aware of, and indeed we acknowledge the sentiment raised by Honorable Madlingozi that it's perhaps not fair to continue to hear those names. I would want to leave it at that, DGM Chairperson. Thanks a lot.
Just to add that unfortunately the department also and Honorable Chair is not able to stop people from pronouncing such names, Honorable Members. But if it is about then the names of places, as we indicated earlier in one of our reports about the Gazette and name changes, the public, anyone is free to propose that such names be changed. If they are offensive, for whatever reason, then the department will process based on the recommendations from the geographic, provincial geographic names councils, who will then make those recommendations. Then from the public, those names might not then be utilized if it is approved, and the process of consultation was done leading to those names being changed, if such names exist, as geographical names for any place. Coming to the issues of whether why the documents were late, as I indicated earlier, we had committed to submit the documents, and we did submit the documents on Saturday to the Honorable Chairperson, to the Secretariat, and I'm hoping that they were distributed. If they were late based on a particular due date, we will apologize to the members, but at the time, I don't have recollection that it was supposed to be in by what time and which date, but ours was that we committed, and the chairperson followed up to make sure that we submit, and we indeed had to concretize and gather all information and make sure that we provided the information to the committee. And if for whatever reason we then overlooked the particular deadline, Honorable Chairperson, we would apologize, and we have no intention, and either by insinuation or by intention, to try and undermine this committee. and I hope that then will, our apology will be received in that spirit, Honorable Chair. And then on the issue raised about SARA, I think we have provided the detail, Honorable Chairperson, on the funding we are providing to SARA. And then if I can read the letter that Minister sent to Honorable Chairperson, and around a plethora of questions that were then raised by the Honorable Member about other matters, I must say, firstly, yes, SARA have taken us again to Public Protector, and hence the Minister wrote, and I read the last paragraph of what Minister said, so that I do not seem to be transgressing anything. It says, I also wish to bring to the attention, the Chair's attention, that the matter of SARA is still being handled by Public Protector of South Africa, full stop. Engaging on it further, I have provided this document, may affect the subject's role, a point at which the Portfolio Committee acknowledged in the previous discussion of this matter. Full stop. Yours sincerely, Mr. E.N. Mthethwa, MP. So I would like to say that on the subsequent questions that have been raised, I will have to adhere to what Minister have advised, except to confirm the following. Yes, the Public Protector, that SARA have taken the DG to the Public Protector. Minister have provided a full report back to the Public Protector on the matters raised by SARA, and that matter then will await the Public Protector. Have SARA taken the department to court? I am not aware, and have not been served with any papers as I speak, so I may not be able to comment whether they have or not until we have such papers served on us, if there is such an exercise being undertaken. Have we met the issues of a Public Protector? We had indicated, and I hope Honorable Members have the report of the Public Protector on this matter. If we were to rewind, I came to the department and I found that there was a matter of the Public Protector in SARA that was tracking, and at the time the department had intention of possibly taking this matter for review. We subsequently decided that let us engage with both parties. In our engagement with both parties, department decided that rather than going to court for all the reviews, let us look at the value of the program and the project that SARA provides, and whether the issue of their funding is really warranting taking the matter to court and having reviews rather than providing necessary support. As a consequence, as we have provided the funding table, the department settled the matter with the parties. In that settlement, one of the issues was the issue of the academy, and that academy, they had requested 15 million at the time. But we made an undertaking as a department that we recognize that this has been over the years and the place might have deteriorated. In a good spirit and the intention to make sure that this matter is settled amicably, we'll allow one of the findings by the Public Protector, and the instruction was that DBSA, Development Bank of Southern Africa, will be responsible for implementing this project once it was settled. That was honored. We are working with the DBSA. DBSA went and conducted the assessment on the condition of the building. Irrespective of the fact that the 15 million is what we're supposed to settle on, they came back and indicated that the DG and the department, it looks like the situation requires 23 million. We then said, because this is an amicable resolution of the matter, let us not speak to the 15 million, we'll settle for the 23 million. So this also has been done as per the funding of the public protector that we fund the renovations of the SARA building. The issue of the funding. The funding of the public protector was in relation to exactly what Honorable Mthlongwe has said. And all the funding that we do does cover what we regard as a 10% that they must use for their operational and administrative costs. So when we do fund SARA, we separate those costs from implementation of a project, like we do with all other projects. Now, the second issue then, the third issue that was then raised was whether, as a department, we have honored the findings of the public protector. It is our humble submission, Honorable Chair, that we believe we have, and one that is on course and is ongoing, is when SARA requests for money, we provide the money. Is when the building over a project a period of 2 years requires that we provide the funding for its renovation, we've committed and we continue to do so. The other matters about what SARA has taken us to, I have made a reference to the letter by the Minister to the Honorable Chairperson for the attention of the Portfolio Committee to take note of. And I will not dwell on those matters. There was a question about the 23 million and how was it determined before the MOA was signed. Honorable Chair, I would like to confirm that the 23 million came about because the small Department of Small Business Development already has this allocation that they would normally provide to the cooperative in the field of offer craft audiovisual, as was indicated by my colleague, DDG Kumalo. So we agreed that we will work on a match basis so that we cover as many people as possible, both from the field of from the perspective of individuals, as well as from the perspective of the cooperative. So it's a hybrid model between us to cover the mandate that they normally have and the mandate that we have to make sure that we help as many of those in need as possible. That is how, so their budget is 11.5 million and we're to match it as 11.5 million from our side. And that is how the 23 million was determined. Honorable Chairperson would like to indicate, and the last question that I believe we might still need to indicate and emphasize, there is no money that has been given to CIFSA on this budget. It is money targeting those who need it most, and those that you are serving, the creatives, in the categories that were indicated by DDG Kumalo. I believe, Honorable Chair, we have answered the first round of questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. Honorable members, I'm seeing the messages which are sent here saying that this time is too little. You know, before lockdown, we always have 9:30 to 1 o'clock. Now we do start at 9 o'clock to 12:30. I'm giving members to do follow-up questions. I'm responding on the time frame. The time are not given by myself, are determined by the committee where programming is. All parties are presented. Can I give the follow-up question hands? Zoe, please assist me.
Mr. Mhlongo Bonafu, Chair.
The Honourable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think it is deliberate that the department will approved quarter one to quarter four, but the finances of COVID, the first phase of COVID relief, is not mentioned, and they are saying they're going to do it separately. What exactly does it entail? Because we cannot approve their finances per quarter to date, and then COVID money is not there because the COVID 150 million is from the department. Can they explain that? Because we've approved their finances now. Another issue I wanted to find out regarding the outstanding application 67 and 40 for adjudication. Where is the budget on your finances to say we've allocated this money for the adjudication process for the first phase? I don't see it on your books, but there's 67 outstanding for adjudication and for sports it's 40. I don't see the money. Where is it? And where is it allocated on your finances? Chair, regarding the DG, he didn't answer my question. In 2019-2020, even last time I've asked the same question, did SARA get operational budget or did SARA get any allocation, not building issues, not 23 million issues? Did they get any funding from the department to date since last year, since the previous financial year? Okay, what I think another issue, what happened to... It's, I think it's deliberate again. What happened to the balance? It's not on the books, but they're saying it's somewhere. We cannot approve finances, and if there's a balance brought forward, it's not on your finances. Something.
Honourable Mhlongo, with due respect, if your question number four, you need to be faster in order that they must respond to your question.
I have the last one regarding the vouchers. Regarding the vouchers. Which channel, we're told on the presentation that there were channels that are going to use regarding the 70 million of the vouchers from for artists and other sportsmen. Which channel are they going to use for that? And regarding the system, IT system, Chair, the first phase showed us that the IT system has failed us. What did they do? How much did they use for us to have a good IT system for the application, for the web, for everything that entails for the application? Thank you, Chair.
That's your question number six. Thank you so much. Any other follow-up? I've seen you, Honourable Van Dijk, you were complaining of that you didn't finish. This is the time that you must do follow-up questions. At least when we're giving each other these 3 minutes, it does allow us to do what we're doing, follow-up questions. Honourable Fande. Okay, she will come in because sometimes it does have a problem of network. DJ?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. On the follow-up by Honourable Mhlongo, I think the CFO will talk to the issue of the finances, because I will have the breakdown. But just on the issue of SARA, can I read what we have submitted to the Honourable Members on the budget per year breakdown, so that I am not saying something that maybe Honourable Members have not received. For the year 2019-20, under the funding international relations, SARA was provided with the amount of 406,928.61 as a first tranche, and because they were allocated 452,142.20. That is for what we call international relations, as Honourable Mhlongo clearly indicated. The second project that was funded for SARA in 2019-2020 is the one that is called Live Events Technical Production Conference, the LETPC. The report I have provided to the Honourable Members for 2019-20 financial year, SARA was granted 1,392,586.84. That money was given to SARA. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
CFO, thank you, Mr. CFO.
Thanks, Honourable Chair.
if members still have the presentation, if we go to slide 68, I just want to explain on slide 68, you will see there under the transfer of non-profit institutions, there is a budget of 253 million and the expenditure by the end of June is 9.4 million. Honorable Chair and members, that 9.4 million is the funds that have been transferred to the sports club in order for them to do the payment. When I'm saying that the expenditure report here entails what have we given to sports club in order for them to pay the beneficiary, then I'm saying that we will also present to the portfolio report, portfolio committee, how much sports trust has spent in regards to paying the beneficiaries. Because this report is the report that we get from the system, and that is how National Treasury wants us to report. And the additional report for the portfolio committee, we do have the information, hence I'm saying we can do a separate submission in order to explain that. If I go to the slide of Program 3 budget, you can see there in our departmental agency, in that 168 million, if we have the breakdown, then you will see that, because here is about 28 public entities, but one of them is National Arts Council and National Film and Video Foundation. So in this amount, there is funds that we transferred specifically to them to be able to pay the beneficiary. Hence, I'm saying the report is not detailed to that level that the portfolio committee wants to see how much the entities have spent. But there is a separate report that we prepare that we get information from these public entities to show how much they have spent and paid towards the COVID-19 beneficiaries. Hence, I'm saying we will be able to submit that report to the committee separately. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. DJ, the voucher is... DJ?
Thanks, Chairman. I will respond to that. It's Priscilla speaking. The issue of solidarity with the voucher. Solidarity approached the fund and offered us 10,000 vouchers at 700 rand each. So the amount is 7 million rand that they offered to the department. So what basically happened, once we collect the beneficiary list, we are going to hand them over to Solidarity. Solidarity will take those lists, verify against the SASSA system if any of the beneficiaries is receiving, currently receiving UIF or any SASSA grant. So those that are receiving SASSA grant or UIF, they will be disqualified. So once they verify that through the SASSA system, Solidarity through Standard Bank, they will then be paying out the 700 rand voucher. So the money is not with us, it's with them, they didn't transfer it to the department. So they will, through their channels, send out the vouchers to the recipients. So they said to us they will distribute through Standard Bank. So it will either be a cash voucher or the beneficiaries can redeem them through Spar, Techers, or any of the agents that they will be choosing. So that's how the 700 vouchers will be distributed. Thank you, Chair. And on the issue of Love Life, I think we didn't also respond to the issue of Love Life. Love Life is currently giving some funding through us. For this financial year, we haven't paid them because the business plan they provided to us, it didn't have content on it. It was not addressing any of our objectives. So we sent it back. We've been going through two and forth with the business plan. So finally, last week, they gave us a solid business plan with the input that we've made. and we are currently in the process of finalizing the service level agreement. So once that has been done, that's when we can then transfer the first payment to them. But currently we haven't paid them anything because we're not happy with the content that was on the business plan. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, that's how when a chairperson is managing the time and minutes, now we're supposed to end this meeting at 12:30. We are in 12:19. Any other member who's feeling that there's something that it's not responded to you, honourable members.
Thank you. Chair, what criteria are they going to use for the vouchers? Can maybe let them remind me, because if they're going even to use SASA, what criteria are they going to use? And then I wanted to find out, Chair, regarding the National Arts Council, the CEO issue. What is the status? We've seen your report, DG, but what is the status quo? Because the issue is, according to the law, it's more than 60 days she did not review the case with public protector. And we are calling the minister to intervene because the minister in our last meeting told us that no, she's going to review. And it's not yet done. What is the status? Because that letter was old. What is the status to date? Chair, thank you very much. Regarding the CEO of National Arts Council.
DG, you must bear in mind that some things are not in our agenda, even in your presentation, but because we are here, you can respond to those that you do have information. We are in 12:20 now. To you, DG. Criteria on the voucher, I'm suspecting.
Yes. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Secretary. The criteria that the vouchers are available to people in the sports and athletes, the athletes and the artists. And we try to accommodate people that are in the missing middle. So then we set the criteria. The people that will qualify to be anyone who's between 14 and 59. Because what came back from Solidarity was that they wouldn't want to cater for anyone who's currently receiving any government grant, whether it or have previously benefited from any of the relief funds. Of the relief that the government has initiated so that there mustn't be a double duty. So as we were saying, since the grant as well has been increased, anyone who receives a social grant wouldn't be qualifying to receive the solidarity fund or who's receiving a UIF. So on our criteria, we then said there are those missing middle. So hence then we then said the criteria that we'll use, it will be any person who's between 14 and the age of 59. And also somebody who also has been within the industry and within the last 3 years has been an artist or an athlete. And they must also provide proof that they've been within the industry. Either you're going to get somebody who has been in the industry for more than 10 years who will give you a supporting document or a supporting letter saying they know, because we're trying to cater for any of our people who are out there who have never received any funding or who used to receive something through the arts or through their sports, but now they are not accommodated and they've lost some income. So hence the criteria are trying to accommodate everyone. Thanks, Shanice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We are still having one item on the agenda. DG?
Yes. Honorable Chair, I think I've got two letters that were forwarded to the members through procedures. One was talking to the resolution by the council, and I think the members have that. And then on the latest information, Honorable has asked, the letter I have is dated 27th of August 2020, and it indicates the time frames for taking the public protector report on review. And the letter reads as follows. Even though the relevant legislation allows for a period of 180 days, and I must emphasize this, I'm not sure where Honorable Member gets 60 days, but all the research I have done about what is the period within which the matter must be taken, I've consulted various legal people. They make reference to PAJA in terms of promotion of administrative justice, and they say it is 180 days, not 60 days. But I needed to confirm now where Honorable Member got 60. Now, in terms of their own response, they also then, without me even asking them to indicate, I just said I need timeline. And this is what they said, paragraph 2. It says, even though the relevant legislation allows for a period of 180 days to file the application, which is during December 2020, in the relation to their case, that's why they say in our case, close bracket, comma, we are pushing to file the intended review application during the month of September 2020, and it's bolded. So regardless of when the application is filed, there isn't much that will happen in the meantime. We have already informed the Office of the Public Protector that we are on record for purposes of bringing the review application. Dated 27th August, signed by CEO Rosemary Mangope, when we needed the update. And that is what we have according to the report by the NAC.
DG, thank you, DG. Honorable members, we have got 5 minutes. Let me check first what is in the agenda before I said I'm closing the meeting, before even I thank the department. What is on the agenda now? Please assist me. Do you think that with these few minutes we can do the adoption of minutes? Tell me. I'm suspecting
you are not prepared.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
We can adopt.
DG, with your encourage, can I take this opportunity under the duress of time to thank you? And I'm also want to emphasize that every now and then when we are coming, please prepare well in order that we must not accuse the department and whoever was coming to present that you didn't prepare. The problem of time is going to be managed by the honorable members themselves. When we are managing and giving each and every member the agreed minutes, and we do have time to do what you call follow up once we are rushing through, but I'm saying that bear with us, and I don't know now, of course, we used when the parliament is not in lockdown or whatever, not in virtual, our meetings are taking 9:30 to 12:30 and then until 1 if we want to end up. This time we are getting at 9 to 12:30. So every now and then I will try to be assisted by members that I must manage the time together with themselves. Let me take this opportunity again to thank you with everything. Honorable members, we can release the department because now we want to do our minutes. Can somebody present the minutes for us? DG?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And we thank the committee and all the members. And I'm sure, Chair, when you're saying come prepared well, you meant continue to come prepared well. Because we believe we were well prepared and we'll continue to do so.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Mm-hmm.
but not using that is the mapambili as it continues.
Thank you.
And Jabu and Zo, our minister. Honourable members, this is on our screen.
The minutes of the
18th August, we were having them in our emails and whatever. Page one. Continue as you are seeing the slides. If you want to raise something once we did the minutes, just interject in order that we make it faster to be at here at 12:30 to prepare for the plenary. If you want to interject, I will just pause.
I want to bring before the closure. I think I'm not sure if it's captured. I don't have my many. Oh, Mr. Madlingozi under item bullet number 8, closure and adjournment. Mr. Madlingozi raised an issue that SAFA took advantage of the committee. In fact, can we address that issue? Because obviously it's pertaining WhatsApp on Songo as an individual, but it's on the minutes. Can we tackle that issue?
I will give it to the members, because you know, on that day I was on and out. I don't know how these other members feel. I don't know why. I don't know how Usafa tackled one of our members, but I'm surprised if I was there. No one can tackle anyone, even from the side of the committee. Can anyone respond this observation of Honorable Malingos?
Chair?
Yes, Chair.
Chair,
Malomane.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. I think maybe let's first adopt whether it's a true reflection or not, and then be seconded. So if there's any matter that it arises, we'll deal with it after we've adopted the minutes.
Can we do that?
Yes, Chair, sorry. How do you adopt minutes that are not to reflection?
When you adopt minutes, if you don't want to adopt wherever it arises, but when you adopt minutes with the amendment, there's no amendment. It's a matter arising, which Honorable Mshongo is raising. So we're on that stage that we must adopt the minutes, and then we must talk about matters arising. We are on that stage, Honorable Mashungo.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Anyone who wants to adopt the minutes?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Mashungo. Any seconder?
Thank you, Chair. I second, Madam.
Yes. In matters arising, there's one matter arising from Honorable Mashungo. So, procedural. Thank you, Honorable Malomane. We are on that now. So any member of the committee wanted to respond on the
item which Honorable Mangosi put to the committee. I'm giving you Honorable
Mangosi.
Yes, Honorable Siyabe. Yes, Honorable Siyabe.
Yes. On that issue, Honorable Marlungos raised a concern about the voluminous report that was submitted by SAFA. Further that, which is captured here, further that it seems SAFA came prepared to attack Honorable Mutongo. And Honorable Mutongo added that the chairperson of the meeting...
Honorable, it's captured like that. I'm saying it. Now, members, you must just respond on that, on this accusation of people who did attack Honorable Mutongo. Because what we are saying is written. Just get to the point, Honorable members. I want to release you, Honorable members. It's past 1:30 now.
Can I come in?
No, what about this?
No, Mr. Siyabe is still on the floor.
What I was saying, Honorable Mutongo was accusing the chairperson of the day that he did not protect him because I was chairing, to which I apologized and said maybe it's a learning curve, which in future we need to correct. That's how we ended the issue.
I think it's the precedent that we are going to set, especially we have more than 27 entities or shareholders or stakeholders, so to say, and when they come with the attitude that SAFA came with on that day, it's wrong for us to have members of entity to call orders to members instead of them accounting to us. I think that one must be corrected, but I understand Babu acting chair on the day. He did not do diligent work, but I accept the apology. Chair, why I wanted to raise this, when you go to the next paragraph, there's a proposal that I came with. SCOPA is using a questionnaire process where an individual will ask a stakeholder a question, and the stakeholder will respond. And if I'm not happy, I'll have a follow-up question on the same item. And the chairperson, it's minuted on our minutes, and it says you are going to be consulted. How far are we with this? Because that process is a SCOPA that doing a diligent oversight work done for us to have a 3-minute oversight work, which is uncalled for us. We are not doing a diligent work. There's a proposal, it's minuted, and we're supposed to talk about it. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable members, thank you, Honorable Mutongo. I've read the minutes, and I was wondering this issue of SCOPA, because as this honorable members and committee, we took a decision that let's give a 3-minute rule to each of us, and we agreed that point was raised because Honorable Mutongo, when he is raising his question, he was taking about 10 questions as Honorable Mutongo, and my intervention was that we can't not to give Honorable Mutongo to ask questions, but in order that every member must have a right to ask the questions. So, and we agreed, it's minuted wherever. So now if you want to resume, I'm not sure or whether you want to resume. The renewal of that, it must not as if we didn't take a decision. For instance, today, what we have done, it was an excellent way because we need to give each and every member. But it's upon you, committee members, if you want to review. But I cannot take the experience of SCOPA. We are talking about the experience of this committee, which it was upon that decision that was decided that a 3-minute rule and in order that we must do a follow-up, I'm putting that, I'm reminding honourable members of the initial decision. I'm putting to you, honourable members, that's the proposal of honourable Strong. It must not be a proposal, it must be a renewal of the decision which were taken. Thank you, honourable members. Honourable Siame. Yes, Honourable Siame.
Yes. What? Thank you, Andrew, for example. We did very well. Now, COPPA, when it has a meeting, it looks at a specific issue. Let's say, for example, they would look at the procurement of COVID-19. And the whole meeting, they will be focusing on that. Whilst in our committees and other committees, we're not looking at a specific issue, we're looking at a broader report. And if we start looking at a specific issue as a portfolio committee, we'll never finish. For the 5 years we'll be here, or for a year, we'll never finish whatever we're supposed to do. So I'm saying what we are doing here and in COPPA are not the same. Maybe in COPPA, because they are looking for a specific issue under discussion, and they follow up on that, they focus on it, it is possible to behave that way. But I think the decision that was taken, Chair, which we implemented correctly today, because we even finished before time, if we continue in that spirit, that one of 3 minutes, come back, 3 minutes, come back, and so on, until we are all satisfied, it is a good one. That's my view, Chair.
Honourable Ruby, I'm being harassed that I must close the meeting. We have exceeded the time that has been given. Honourable members, with the spirit of being colleagues and honourable members who are always work together, let's stick to the decision, because it did show us today that we can manage. For instance, look, what Honourable Musongo was having outstanding minutes, he was catered. What I wanted, I didn't want that anyone must not ask the question that he or she wants. I wanted that we must share these minutes. So I'm pleading to you, Honourable Members, Honourable Musongo and the rest, that let's stick to our 3 minutes, but allow me to control that there must not be a monopoly of time. We must, the people should say, I'm pleading, Honourable Member.
The person?
Yes, Honourable Member.
The person, I have a new proposal. You know, as since you called the DA, yes, you are proud to be a member of the DA. As the members of the DA are not happy with the 3 minutes, I'm proposing, let's have the 4 minutes, because it's not enough. And in your input, you are saying all members must ask questions. Today we have members who are here, they didn't ask one question. Now I'm giving
to them. No, Honourable Chang, you are
no,
addressing
the floor. Honourable Chang, I'm saying the floor.
No,
now I'm saying to you, my recommendation is let's go for 4 minutes, and then I'll be here.
Honourable Chang, now you're talking about the ones you were doing a good work. If they don't want to ask questions, they won't be forced, but it's an advantage to you, Honourable Strong. Look at the questions that you have done well about it. Don't do that.
No, but no, Chair, I have allowed to say what I want to say. Ngetiguwe, your input, you are saying all members must ask questions. You've said that. And I'm saying to you, not all members
those
ask questions.
Those who want to ask questions, I don't force anyone to ask questions, Honourable Strong.
But your input was to say that 3 minutes must allow all members to ask questions.
Yes, I'm allowing all members to ask questions, but I don't force that all members must ask questions. Don't do that, Honourable Strong.
I'm coming with
don't
amendments that can we go in for Mr. Siam?
Thank you, Chair.
I'm not
thank
done,
Chairperson.
I'm not done. I'm still speaking, Chair.
No, no,
Yes, I went to SCOPE, but they don't deal with one issue. I think you are misleading the House. Every member has any question to ask with any report. It's not a SCOPE report, like to say we focus on this. It's an open, a member will ask whatever question on the report, on different entities. It might be finance, it might be their performance. They'll ask several questions, but there'll be this engagement that we spoke about it in our last meeting, and then it's minuted. And I'm proposing that is an effective oversight. Then for the DG, for an example, I've asked one question today several times. Now they did not even respond to that. That will be an engagement.
I'm sure we are taking our time, and you have a proposal. And now I don't know how can I handle your comrades, because I've started to round up, but you are taking us very far now, but the proposal is on the table.
Chair, I'm proposing that we close this meeting, but there is this matter. But the main thing is that it was proposed to us that 3 minutes, we said yes, it's fine. If it needs to be reviewed, let's go to the next meeting and speak about this issue than for you to be harassed on the other side while we're still busy with this issue. I'm proposing that we close this meeting.
I support it. We are going to discuss it in our next meeting. Thank you very much. I support that. We'll discuss it in our next meeting.
I didn't say that you must respond. Honorable Mkhlong, this is your committee, which I know you love it all, but you need to respect somebody who is chairing your committee. I didn't say you must say anything. So try to respect each one in the committee. Because when I'm feeling that you don't respect me, you're also going to argue, please, we've been doing well in this committee, but I don't feel that sometimes you don't respect me.
I apologize to come in just like that.
Honorable members, can you adopt the minutes?
Chair, can I come in?
Yes, Honorable.
There's a proposal on hand, and I'm supporting the proposal that let's close this. We'll discuss it in our next meeting. I support the proposal.
Chair? Honorable Mshawa has moved, and then I seconded the minutes. We adopted the minutes.
We will open the. It's an issue that we need to discuss. Thank you, honorable members. Sometimes, honorable members, I need that. I'm a human being. I can do errors. I'm respecting all of you. I will need sometimes that I must be respected, because I'm having interest of a committee. This committee is a committee of national statute like that. So please, honorable members, I must not feel that sometimes you don't want to follow, because I'm not like Hitler here. I've even said we took decision. If a committee wants to review the decision, it's upon the committee. The meeting is closed, honorable member. You must propose.
Thanks to everyone. Have a good day. See you in the sitting.